call the City of Franklin's Planning Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, you please take the roll.
Commissioner Miklik?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Excused.
Alderman Solomon?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
Please rise. Join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance for our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You have before you the regular meeting minutes of October 4th, 2012. Is there any discussions? If not, is there a motion to approve? Second? Second.
I can't.
Okay. Anyone else want a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
One abstention.
Okay. Four ayes, no noes, one abstention. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to public hearings. Business items, Lawrence D. Neldner, trustee, South Shore Lodge, number 3, Free and Accepted Masons of Wisconsin. Mr. Giedel.
There will be a public hearing on this item. The applicant is looking to use an existing building on 27th Street for Masonic Lodge, and that use, that type of use, is not allowed within the B4 zoning district, which the property is located in. So they are asking for a UDO text amendment to allow that type of use, that SIC code, to be a permitted use in this district. That's the purpose for the public hearing.
Do you have a laser pointer or something to point to the property?
Nick will be able to do that.
Turn the lights on.
It's the property on the southwest corner. So there's two structures on that and a parking lot in between. So it's the old Franklin Mechanical.
Okay. So that's El Rancho Hotel across the street from there?
Correct, to the north.
New Boots restaurant across the street from Oak Creek. Yeah, just to kind of give a general feel for where that is.
Yep.
All right, please proceed.
So all that property is zoned B4, which does not allow fraternal organizations, which this use would fall under. It's not allowed at all in the B4. So that's why they're asking for a UDO text amendment to allow this as a permitted use. That would be the public hearing. They are also proposing to make site plan changes, change the parking lot to restripe it to get more parking spaces out of it, to make some changes to the building and to the landscaping. Normally, we would try to do that as a minor site plan, which is an administrative process. But as part of that site plan changes, a use of their type, fraternal organizations, require a lot of parking. The amount of parking they're able to provide on-site is about 12 spaces, which is about 70% less than what would normally be required for a use of this type. That's why we're bringing the site plan changes as well to the Planning Commission for their review and approval, because a parking reduction of that amount has to be approved by the Planning Commission. And to compensate for that loss of parking on their site, they have an agreement with the hotel to the north for those parking spaces. That would bring them into the UDO normal parking standards. So that's, in a nutshell, the project. And then the applicants are here, of course, if any questions.
Yeah. Do the applicants want to come forward and talk about their project? Or we maybe give us a use or why? Right there.
Right here? Okay.
And if you could, please state your name and address for the record, as long as you're with your associate. Yes, I think it should be on.
Okay. I'm Dan Mashinsky from South Shore Masonic Lodge number 3. And this is our architect, Brett Lucky from, he's our architect.
Okay.
Also with us today are some of our Grand Lodge people and
actually, I think I'll have to have either the spelling of your name or the pronunciation of your last name.
Spelling is L-U-E-C-K.
Okay, thank you.
And mine is M-O-S-H-I-N-S-K-I.
Okay. So the attorney is charged with beating up the mayor if I don't get it right.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Well, First of all, I'd like to thank you all for helping us with this vision that we have. We're the South Shore Masonic Lodge number 3, formerly of South Milwaukee, where we had a home for over 80 years in that city. And in South Milwaukee, we had the property that was on the corner of, looks like about 7th Street and Monroe, if anyone knows where that is. Big three-story building, there since the early 1900s, and served that community very well over the years. However, that building didn't serve us as well over the last several years because of asbestos and the age of the building and so forth. We had the opportunity to sell it to a developer about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and the developer never ended up doing anything with the property, but we were out of the building. Our vision was always for something much smaller. Our group, we have about 90 people that are members, but of the 90 folks that are members, there are probably about 10, 12 of us that are active, mainly because of age. As you know, with most service organizations, we've all aged and we've all found other things to do in our lives besides go to meeting and serve the public. We were looking for a lodge, a building like this, which was all on one floor, something that would aid our folks that isn't accessible without elevators in a multi-floor unit. We meet there roughly twice a month from the months all year long except for June, July, and August, when we just take the summer off, at least for meetings. So you're looking at a property that's going to get used maybe once a week, twice a week, from roughly 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We don't generally eat in there. Our organization prohibits alcohol, except with certain dispensations. So we tend to be a pretty quiet neighbor. The building itself is pretty much ready to go because it's just a brick building and it has no supporting walls inside. So we can configure it, and I believe we even have a little plan inside of your packet here. And as far as the outside goes, we can comply with all the 27th Street site improvements that are necessary under the UDO, and we have no problem to do that. And we tend to, you know, be one of the better neighbors in terms of, you know, beautification and things like that. That's just the nature of our organization.
Could you, when I met with you and the staff, you talked about some of the things that your organization is involved in, working on community projects and with youth and things of that nature.
Right.
The reason I ask is because this would be I would believe, a tax-exempt organization.
Right.
And so Plan Commission is sort of given the assignment for looking at the highest and best uses for the community and for the welfare of the community. And so we do have some organizations that have been on, that are on 27th Street that have been nonprofit organizations, but we were able to, I'll call it, strike a deal with them so that part of their establishment was taxable. Probably not as much as other organizations, but, you know, I'm talking about the hospital. But obviously the hospital,
right,
brings this terrific benefit for the community, just having an emergency room closer than St. Luke's is a monumental item for our community. So if you could just talk about some of the things you talked to me about as far as your, what your organization does for the community.
Sure, Mayor Taylor. As an organization, I don't have everything right here, but off the top of my head, I can tell you that every year we raise money for scholarships, and if you've been to the Franklin High School, you'll see us there about every 3 years with about a $1,500 scholarship that we raise for a worthy candidate. Each year, because we haven't had a home, we've been rotating that scholarship between Franklin, Oak Creek, and Cudahy. If we get a plan, if we get a home here, I think that it will be at Franklin a lot more than it is now, that scholarship activity. We also are involved with, at least the city of South Milwaukee, with their South Milwaukee Old Fashioned Christmas for the last 4 or 5 years. We volunteer to take photographs of with kids on Santa's lap and that. That's been an ongoing type of philanthropy that we do for at least the city of South Milwaukee. We have several Boy Scout leaders that are also parts of our lodge, and we'd be open to, now that we'd have a home, a place for them to meet, a place for them to, you know, work on projects and things like that, would be a good thing that we can sponsor. In addition, we've raised in the last, we have a pledge, I believe, for, it's $60,000 that we're raising over the next 5 years. Three of these years, we've already made that pledge to the Masonic Home, which is a retirement home out in Dousman. And by the way, that Masonic Home is not just for Masons; it's for anybody that wishes to live there. It's just a matter of application, and it's a needs-based type community. So we do a lot of philanthropy for the city, for the community, and we, you know, since we don't really have a home anymore, we've been meeting at churches and at like a hall. We're looking for a more permanent base that we can call our own.
Didn't you also say that you're involved with the Boy Scout organizations, or many of your members are?
Oh yes, yes. I'm a former Boy Scout leader of 579, and Larry Nellner, who's also a trustee. He's not only a former Boy Scout leader, he is actually still part of the troop and has been part of the troop for, I'm just going to guess, I can't speak for him, but 30 years. And so, we have roots in working with youth and the Scouts. I've been a president of the Franklin Forest Softball Club, which is the second oldest softball club in the state of Wisconsin, next to the Racine Bells. Franklin Girls Fast Pitch, and that's what we support there. Our whole organization is, you know, everybody has their own thing, but at the same time, we're all community-minded folks that get together, and some of our covenants are, include this type of thing. Our saying is that we like to bring in men and make them better, and that's that we're the oldest fraternal organization in the world. Let's put it that way. I don't know how long it's been. It's been up to the History Channel to try to define.
I think I was telling you when we met that I had been a member of the Eagles organization probably for 25 to 30 years, and used to go down and play basketball with the firefighters and police officers, city of Milwaukee, where they were pretty rough in those games. But the organization was very, very much in favor and supported the military, supported police, fire, had annual fundraising efforts for injured firemen, police officers. So, and they, I think their top place was Devine's Ballroom on Wisconsin Avenue, where they had a membership that went to about 25,000, I think, in its heyday. And I thought it was a terrific organization. One of the people that I've mentioned was my mentor, kind of responsible for getting me involved in everything. He was the president of the Eagles Club, Roy Kaczmarek. He's no longer with us, but looking over at Alderman Solomon because he knew him. And one pretty terrific person, human being. So I'm just saying, and I think the Elks Club used to be on Wisconsin Avenue, right across from the War Memorial, right next to Northwestern Mutual Life. So,
well, if you look at some of our members here that we have in the audience today, you'll see some folks that, some of the South Shore folks, could you please stand up? And Grand Lodge as well. Now you'll see a lot of, you'll see some folks here
that
are.
Is that the whole lodge, that no one guy back there?
These are probably, we called out the troops.
Wow.
Charlie Flom is out there, he's in the purple, and he, that guy has more artificial limbs and things, and has more surgeries. He's an old submariner.
Yeah, not in the city.
But what I wanted to make mention of is, just as you have mentors in your life, and we all have had mentors in our life, we've just brought in probably 6 to 8 new Masons over the last year and a half. And these are young people. These are folks that are 18, 19, 20. And as you see, we have some older folks, some folks like me that are a little bit in our prime. And these are folks that we can mentor, too. And I think we all have them. And it's just a matter of, you know, what types of mentors you have and how you seek them out. We all know of folks that have seeked out younger folks, especially. I know when I was in high school, my daughter's sons, the principal would always say, pick your friends closely. And certainly you want to be influenced by the right influences. And so that's what we try to do. We try to do it by example. I think that, you know, the city of Franklin is one of those fast-growing cities. Our organization has been primarily, we've got over, I think, 11 or 12 different lodges in the city of our Milwaukee County. None of them are this far south, not a one. So we'd like to expand out this way, and we think that that we can benefit each other.
Okay. Sorry for taking you all through that, but I don't know how many individuals were familiar with Masonic Lodge or fraternal orders or what organizations like that do for the community. I know, just speaking for myself, with the Eagles Club, they were very, very much involved in, I call them sort of the backbone of southeastern Wisconsin in many respects. Mr. Dietl, I have your plan here. And you're recommending, your staff's recommending approval?
Correct.
Can you tell us why?
We believe that the impacts on the site and the neighborhood are negligible or beneficial for that SIC code, so that we are comfortable allowing that as a permitted use in the B4. The site plan changes were the only thing that we pointed out, a few comments and suggestions. One, again, was the parking reduction. It is a significant reduction of parking from what those types of uses usually require. But we are comfortable, again, at the staff level that they have that agreement with the hotel to the north or the motel to the north for the excess parking that they'll need. The other thing related to that would be the landscaping. We did have a condition. We do have a condition in the staff report and the resolution for final landscape plan. They did submit that to us earlier this week, and Oren looked at it, and it appears to meet the UDO requirements.
Okay. All right, and maybe I'll just leave it up to the commissioners. If you have any questions for it, I'll open this up for public hearing. Not, I'm going to open this item up. Oh, wait, you have to read the notice.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, November 8th, 2012 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132. To hear public comment regarding an application by Lawrence D. Neldner, Trustee, South Shore Lodge, number 3, Free and Accepted Masons of Wisconsin, for a proposed ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0603, Standard Industrial Classification, Title number 8641, Civic, Social, and Fraternal Associations, to allow for such use as a permitted use in the B4 South 27th Street Mixed-Use Commercial District.
All right, I'm going to open this item up for public hearing. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the public hearing? If you would, please state your name and address for the record.
Leroy Levandusky, 8030 West Winston Way. If this goes through, this is another issue that I have with the city. Changing the UDO like a rubber band keeps going on with the Meyer store, 125-foot square building, 1,000 square foot. And now they got the Meyer store going. I don't have any objection to these things taking place. The object of this thing is the fact that we keep changing the rules. Nobody knows how to play this game in a city. But to have 70% less parking space in that building, I've been in that building before, and I can't see this thing operate. Are they not a non-profit organization?
That's my understanding. Yes.
So we don't gain any taxes. Nothing. Yet we have to support them. We have to allow them to do that. If we go forward with this, I object to it.
Right. Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Yes, sir. Is this just on this issue?
Yes. We'll be, when we get to the, we'll have another hearing. Yes.
I'd still like to comment on this issue, though.
Sure.
I'm kind of in favor of it. I have a an uncle who's a Mason, and he is very active with doing things for community, and a couple people I worked with were from the Masonic Lodge, and they do a lot of good things in the community. I know it's tax-free, and we don't get any tax base from them, but it's still a decent organization where the community could benefit and give a little better quality of life for our people here in Franklin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I have your name and address for the record? I think we've got it a couple times.
Yeah. Jim Isaac, 8756 West Mallard Court.
Thank you, Jim. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Kenneth Skoronsky, 8642 South 116th Street. I believe this would be a good credit to the City of Franklin to have the diverse philanthropic groups that provide a lot of things for their seniors, their scholars, the young people with their scholarships. I believe it would be a great credit to the city to show its diversity and for the credit to the people and the students. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? And it's not just limited to residents of Franklin.
Lawrence Neldner, 3181 West Hilltop Lane. This property is pretty much in my backyard. I kind of have a buy-in on this, I guess you might say. As a fraternal organization, I feel that we'll be doing a lot for this community. We don't belong to South Milwaukee anymore, but this last year we gave about $3,000 to their police department. And I don't see why that couldn't be happening to our own community if we're part of it. They ask for us to fund some medical supplies that the police officers felt they needed in their squads and on their persons in case someone got injured, just like happened in Oak Creek here not too long ago. They feel they're the first responders. They wanted this stuff. The community couldn't support it. They came to us, and we supplied them with this stuff. It's just one of the things we do. Defibrillators, we put them in high schools for the swimming teams and sports clubs. There's a number of things that we do for our community. Yes, you'll be losing some tax base, but I think you'll make it up in the long run.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is John Hoppe. I am the proprietor of Hoppe Woodworks, next door neighbor to the proposed property, and I fully support what is going on with my neighbor, and I wish him well.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Yes, ma'am. Please state your name and address for the record.
I'm Donna Pankratz, and 9890 West Elm Court. My only concern, it's a great, great organization. It's positive, it's upbeat, it gives our children great things to look for. I wish them well. I welcome into the area. My concern is what happens down the road when I hope they grow. I hope they get 1,000 people in their organizations, but that may not happen. Who knows? But where are they going to go? They have a contract. They have an agreement with the hotel. What if the hotel owner changes hands? What if this doesn't happen? They need parking. They need places to go. And I think some of that should be looked at before all this happens. I mean, here today, gone tomorrow.
All good points. Thank you.
Could I, why don't we
go through the public hearing first, and then maybe we can just jot down some of that. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Going once, going twice. Anyone else? I close the public hearing. Yes, sir, did you have something to add?
I just wanted to respond to that. It's a fair question, and it's a question that we asked also when we were looking at our site about parking, about expansion, and so forth. We came from a lodge that we actually we shrunk, and we couldn't support a big building. And that's always a problem, I think, with a lot of charitable foundations and organizations, is that you have fixed brick and mortar out there that you have to support. In this case here, we were looking for a building that's relatively small. It's on a half acre of land. And but around the area, there's other supporting businesses that we can use. For instance, we have a meeting that might last 2 hours, and then we usually go out for refreshment, which could mean that we're either going down to...
like Kool-Aid?
You know, adult. No, maybe an adult, maybe not. certainly some food, snacks, and things like that. So we would look to adjourn from our building and then go other places. And it would seem to me that, for instance, Boots Across the Street or the hotel there or even down at... the Irish restaurant down the street also would probably welcome our parking.
Okay. Nothing? All right. Mr. Deal, city attorney.
Only that for the citizen who spoke with regard to parking concerns, I already started scribbling a possible extra condition in addition to what staff offered. This would not be verbatim, but for consideration of the plan commission. And if the plan commission is interested, then staff would simply technically correct this. But the concept is a further condition to be added to the this actually would go to the site plan amendment, which is the second of the two items. It would be as a condition of approval and continuing operation, applicant shall deliver to staff sufficient proof from time to time of the ongoing availability of off-site, off-street parking sufficient for the site operation for the reasonable review and approval by Department of City Development staff. So in other words, if on any given day or days, all of a sudden there are 200 cars and they're parked on the street, then staff, if there's not already proof on file or a recent submission, can require that, and that's a condition, would be a condition of approval and continuing operation.
Mr. Ritter, I see you thinking.
I guess, could you, are you speaking out of your mind, or are you, do you have notes there? Can you say that again? I know it's preliminary text, but you should.
I'm hoping that I'm within my mind and I understood Commissioner Ritter's request for me to simply repeat that. As a condition of approval and continuing operation, applicant shall deliver to staff sufficient proof from time to time of the ongoing availability of off-site, off-street parking sufficient for the site operation for the reasonable review and approval by Department of City Development staff.
Okay, yeah, I think it's a useful addition. I technically, the Department of Economics, from time to time, would we go with annual or something more specifically measurable and so that it's better understood what the requirement, what it is? Biannual doesn't have to be, I'm just tossing out. I just think some specific time frame would be better than some unspecific.
What I could do is see if the I have a proposed motion here and then take up the city attorney's idea as a separate motion and then maybe work on that one. I would throw out, is there a motion? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Fowler.
Just a quick question. I seem to remember that we have done this in other instances when there's been some kind of letter agreement like we got for this development. I just seem to remember we've done this. This isn't something we've... Just well, singling out this
point. One that comes to mind is Southbrook Church, where they had proposed to build a large church but with a community center. And they were a nonprofit. The area of the city was around 76th and Ryan Road, which had been thought by the city to be probably a good area for a business park or a city park or something like that. And because the community center that they were proposing was going to be open to the whole public, to the everybody in Franklin, we thought that that was a very good and higher use of the property, especially since the city is absent a community center. So.
And then I would be in support of some standard for a time, like a biannual. I think that would be reasonable.
Anything else? Is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Table 15-3.0603, Standard Industrial Classification, Title Number 8641, Civic, Social, and Fraternal Associations to allow for such use as a permitted use in the B4 South 27th Street Mixed Use Commercial District?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. I have a second motion, and that motion would be a motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for the property located at 9023 South 27th Street to allow for an approximately 70% parking reduction and other changes, and this to be followed by a third motion. But that would be the second motion. Did you want to add the city attorneys?
I would suggest that we add it to the resolution, yes.
Okay. I'll read it back again. Is there a motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for the property located at 9023 South 27th Street to allow for an approximately 70% parking reduction. And city attorney, could you read the rest of the motion?
And including an added condition which should read generally as follows, and will be technically amended by staff. As a condition of approval and continuing operation, applicant shall deliver to staff sufficient proof on the annual date of December 15, as well as from time to time as may be necessary, ongoing availability of off-site, off-street parking for the reasonable off-site, off-street parking sufficient for the site operation for the reasonable review and approval by Department of City Development staff.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. David, who made the motion?
I don't think anybody.
Okay.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Right. So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor or under discussion, Mr. Ritter?
I appreciate and will support the additional condition. I think, of course, it has to be understood that notwithstanding, you know, there's not much in the way of street parking on South End Drive. 27th Street is headed for reconstruction, renovation, that sort of thing. So if there are 200 cars parked around there at some point, as evidence that whatever the agreement is, it's not working. So something else is going to have to be done. But that's not a reason not to go ahead and make this decision and agree with this.
All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you. Now, this is all going to go to the Common Council. Correct, Mr. Beal?
The UDO text amendment portion only.
And as I had said to you, all of you, when I met with you, it's extremely important that the aldermen of the district be in support of these types of projects when it gets to the Common Council level. I think it's essential that the aldermen be approached and be supportive of the project. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and I'd like to thank you all for your consideration.
Good luck.
Forest Hill Highlands, PDD amendment, the city attorney.
Mr. Mayor, the item number one under this subject matter calls for a public hearing, and this form of public hearing is a little bit different than the standard public hearing under the Unified Development Ordinance, and understanding that the chairman has delegated certain parts of the description of this process, as well as the swearing in of witnesses and the description of the application summary to staff. I would ask that the chairman call public hearing to order, and then I will read from the Unified Development Ordinance the purpose and process for this hearing, and staff will read into the record the public hearing notice, as well as provide a summary of the application and their recommendation.
Great. No public notice needs to be made before I open it up for public hearing.
That's correct.
All right. I'm opening up for a public hearing, item 3B, United Financial Group, Inc., Forest Hill Highlands Senior Community Plan Development District Number 31, market rate and senior housing apartment development. And I'm also delegating operational authority of the hearing to the city attorney and such staff as necessary. With that, I'm opening this up for public hearing. City attorney.
Mr. Chairman, Section 15-10.0208B of the Unified Development Ordinance with regard to the public hearing upon a special exception pertaining to natural resources provides in part as follows. Upon the hearing, the chairman shall, explain the purpose of the hearing and describe how testimony will be received, and present a brief summary of the application and any recommendation from the Plan Commission or the Environmental Commission. The chairman shall afford each interested person or representative the opportunity to present facts, opinions, or arguments at the hearing, administer an oath or affirmation to any person appearing, and keep a record of the hearing by a recording device. On the hearing, the chairman may limit oral presentations if the hearing would be unduly lengthened by repetitious testimony, question or allow others present to question the persons appearing, and continue to postpone the hearing to a specified date, time, and place. At the hearing, the applicant and any interested person may be represented by an attorney and may present evidence and call and examine witnesses and cross-examine witnesses of another party. The applicant shall be heard first. With regard to the purpose of this particular hearing, as the chairman specified, the subject matter is with regard to an application for a special exception, which is the second item on this particular subject matter on the agenda. And it's for a special exception to natural resource provisions under the Unified Development Ordinance, which would be required by the applicant's proposed development of this site. With regard to testimony, the applicant will be heard first. Applicant will be sworn in. Any persons wishing to speak and provide statements or evidence thereafter shall also be sworn in. I will provide for swearing in of each person. And with regard to presenting a summary of the application and any recommendation, there has been no recommendation to this point from the Plan Commission, but there is a recommendation from the Environmental Commission. And as such, I would ask that Mr. Fuchs of the Department of City Development read the public hearing notice and briefly describe the application and the recommendation from the Environmental Commission, after which, since the applicant shall be heard first, I ask that the applicant step forward to the table here to provide any testimony as the applicant may wish.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, November 8th, 2012 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application from United Financial Group, Inc. for a special exception to natural resource feature provisions for property located north of West Pukes Road and west and east of Brentwood Park Drive, Zone Plan Development District number 31, Forest Hill Highlands / United Financial Group, Inc., which bears tax key number 840-9999-002. The requested special exception to natural resource feature provisions is for the purpose of allowing for the filling of 3,219 square feet of wetland, grading and land disturbance of the 30-foot wetland buffer, and impact to the 50-foot wetland setback as follows: 7,191 square feet for the development of a public road, 715 square feet to accommodate sidewalks and driveway access for senior townhomes, 1,637 square feet to accommodate the southeast corner of a 130-unit elderly building, 824 square feet to accommodate the southern portion of an 8-unit market-rate townhome building, and 54 square feet for construction of retaining walls to allow for the development of the southwest portion of the Forest Hill Highlands property, north of West Pukes Road, west and east of Brentwood Park Drive, such property being zoned Plan Development District number 31. And the Environmental Commission did recommend approval of the described impacts to protected natural resource features.
Mayor Taylor, commissioners.
Well, I just want to welcome you, familiar faces. If you could, please state your name and address for the record.
Please raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, one at a time. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Please state your full name, spell your last name, and provide your address for the record.
Robert W. Zolle, Zolle, 660 West Ridgeview Drive, Appleton, Wisconsin.
Do you have any employment or contractual relationship with the applicant or with the City of Franklin?
With the applicant.
And what relationship is that?
I am the Director of Construction for United Financial.
Okay, you please proceed.
Mayor Taylor, Commissioners, Bob Zolle. We're here to discuss our request. Nick, would it be appropriate for you to put Exhibit BB up, since we're going to deal with the natural resource, the NRSE? As you heard, we've been in front of the Environmental Commission a couple of weeks ago. There's a 10-page NRSE question-and-answer form and a 6-page staff report on the special exception request. I'm going to try to simplify that tonight and basically break it down to 6 areas that impact our request. And the elephant in the room is the wetland filling. Wetland filling here is to accommodate a city sidewalk. Staff has requested connectivity between our development and the proposed Meyer development. This is in the right-of-way. This is filling the road ditch on Putes. Our particular design calls for the sidewalk to be butted up to the edge of the drive asphalt with a curb and a 5-foot walk. Now, I had approached Mr. Bennett on this and suggested that UFG would pay all costs for the installation of this walk, but for the city to take over the submittal to the regulatory agency for approvals, since the city would have better luck most likely with the DNR. And he actually agreed to that. I brought that up at the Environmental Commission also. Jack's not here tonight. He's up in Appleton, actually, at a seminar today. But he's well aware of it, that I was going to mention this, and he's in support of the city doing this work. So it's not an exception that we're really requesting at this time. It's just the big item out there. The next, our current PDD 31 allows a 30-foot setback from any building to a wetland. The current UDO requires a 50-foot setback. So what we have on this site are 5 pinch points, and they're shown in brown here, and the largest pinch point is adjacent to this road, this public road, that this is a finger of wetland that comes into the site at this time. We meet the 30-foot setback in all cases, our current PDD. Because we're requesting a major amendment to the PDD, we're subject to the more restrictive UDO ordinance at the 50-foot setback. So what we're asking for in these areas, that we adhere to our current PDD 30-foot setback versus the 50-foot setback. That's the special exception that we're asking for. And the largest area is because of the city road. And typically there's some latitudes given when it comes to roadways in circumstances like this. And we ask that the commissioner see it that way.
Chairman, I have one question for the witness.
City Attorney.
Mr. Zolle, UFG submitted answers to questions to the city, which I'm looking at, which were included in the Planning Commission packet. Is that correct that UFG did answer all those questions for review by the Environmental Commission and thereafter?
Absolutely. This is the 10-page Q&A. The Natural Resource Special Exception, which is part of the UDO standard packet that has to be filled out and addressed, and it's quite involved. It gives you a nosebleed.
Are all those answers set forth by UFG in that 10-page document true and correct?
Correct. Nothing further, Mr. Mayor.
it's not up to me. It's up to the witness. Or if it becomes repetitive, the chairman may require a cease and desist on such testimony. So, Mr. Zolli, are you complete with your presentation and testimony?
I believe so. I think that sums up what we're asking for. If there's any additional questions, I could certainly answer them.
Is there anything else from United Financial or any of the plan commissioners have any questions? Mr. Fowler?
I just have one question. It is the city road that's going to be required for it to, and I understand that it will be squeezing your 50-foot setback, but I'm just wondering, in the construction of that roadway, one of the reasons we like the 50-foot setback is they are to protect the wetland from degradation, from runoff from the street. And I'm just wondering if in the construction of that roadway that you can prevent any sheet runoff from that roadway going into that wetland and maybe directed in a different direction.
Well, certainly. This wetland currently has silt fence surrounding and protecting it. Of course, the roadway itself is 66 feet wide, not 80 feet.
Right.
Mr. Bennett agreed to that, and that was an original design, too, because we knew it was going to be a narrow pinch point. We've actually pushed this road further to the east than the original design by this redesign. There was a 40-unit building right here, which pushed that road further to the west. Now we have an 8-unit, 2 4s, and another 8 here, which allows more space to move that road. Actually, with this curve, it gives it more of a traffic calming feature, which is a good thing. It'll be curb and gutter, of course, when it's finished. So there collect any sediments that way to the storm system, but certainly during the construction process, there will be protection measures provided.
Well, I just want to be certain that even under its operation and maintenance, when it's operating, I couldn't tell for sure where the storm drain was going to go from that roadway, if it's going into that wetland or if it's going elsewhere.
It'll go elsewhere.
That's all I need.
Yeah. We are Forest Hill Highlands, and you can go through our development at this time and see how the wetlands are treated over there, and they're treated with respect. We mow just behind the curb. We let it go wild. We prefer it that way. So we've been a participant for 12 years in the community, and we want to continue.
Right, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
Mr. Redder.
Well, just curious on the point. Snow will fall. It'll be plowed along the side of the street. The streets will be salted. It's all fully plowed along the side of the street. Are you... should we consider grading alongside the street so that the snow would melt and drain back into the street and not have the salt going to the wetland? Or was that part of your thinking or part of an issue of concern?
It's an issue of concern, Commissioner Ritter, but I believe with the curb and gutter, that normally contains most of the salt will not. It's when they have when you have no curb there and the salt is spread on the road, it bounces off the road or runs off in sheet to areas that are not protected. So I believe with the curb and gutter and the way the storm sewers are going to be going, there might be some excess salt that might bounce over, but I think they've done their due diligence to be sure that it's not going to be.
If the audience is wondering why Mr. Ritter is asking Mr. Fowler these questions, that's because Mr. Fowler is one of the high-ranking officials at the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District and provides advice to communities all over the state, or at least within the 28th. He has some knowledge of the measure. Questions or comments by the plan commissioners? Any further? Any other witness for you?
Question.
For the applicant.
I don't believe that could further our position at this time. I brought our wetland scientist here, but I don't know how that could lead to. Any questions anywhere during this process that you would have regarding the level of the wetland and just what it contributes that could be addressed.
Alderman Solomon?
The total of the square footage for the total development on the wetlands is 30.
Along the street here?
Yeah.
It's minimal. I mean, it's the road ditch. Now, to be quite honest, I spoke to Mr. Bennett regarding this. Our particular design minimized the impact. Now, the reality of it is, Mr. Bennett said, well, we'll take it over. You have G foots the bill, but we probably want to see a 5-foot or an 8-foot terrace between the edge of the road and the sidewalk, which quite frankly makes good sense. for safety reasons, which but also would increase filling more of the ditch, more of the wetland. But the city would have a better opportunity to get that approval.
And that's 3,200 square feet for the sidewalk that you show right there.
Right.
It may be a little bit larger.
I'm thinking
if it's moved in by 5 feet.
I'm thinking that Mr. Bennett makes a solid point to move it away from the edge of the...
Obviously, yes.
Yeah, for snow plowing and for safety reasons. So, quite frankly, it's going to create more filling in that ditch.
But that is within the right-of-way.
It's in the right-of-way. It's a city sidewalk in city property.
Thank you.
Mr. Fuller?
Having been over and looked at that site in the past, it's not the perfect time to look at wetland plans. I'd be interested that your wetland expert would disagree with me. That this is not a high-quality wetland. It is a roadside ditch with not a lot of high-quality wetland plants that I could see in there, but I'm not a botanist. But I did not see it as a high-quality. I'd be more concerned with the loss of storage, but it seems to be a de minimis storage issue for the floodplain. But I didn't see it as a high-quality wetland, but I'm not a wetland expert, and I would, if he disagrees with that statement, I would point to
you're right on there. They call it a wetland, but it's a road ditch.
Any other questions, comments from the plan commissioners? Any additional testimony or witnesses? Mr. Haley?
One additional comment that from my reading of the site plan, just clarify, the storm system does go internally to detention basins.
Right.
Ultimately, those detention basins overflow to the adjacent wetlands.
Right.
So the discussion about, it's still getting there. It's a little bit more.
It slows it down. It's about water quality. It slows down the
filtration, but
right.
All the site runoff is going to
site runoff cannot exceed after development cannot exceed pre-development runoff. So you collect the water, you store the water. It's about water quality, and you release it at a controlled rate. And all water is running to the wetland anyway.
I just wanted to clarify that the discussion relative to road salt, other contaminants. It's not a matter of the volumes, but whatever's in that storm water is finding its way to the wetlands.
Right.
Okay. Anything further? Any additional witnesses, testimony? Anything?
I think we've covered it.
City Attorney, we are under a public hearing, right?
Yes, and the applicant says that at this point in time, the applicant has no further testimony, so the chair may invite other persons who wish to speak.
All right, we are under a public hearing. Any citizen wishing to speak, please do so. Please state your name and address for the record. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to get sworn in by the city attorney.
It's been sworn in before.
Raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Could you please state your full name, spell your last name, and state your address for the record?
James Lysik, LAJSIC, 8756 West Ballard Court, Franklin.
Do you have any employment or contractual relationship or other relationship with either the applicant or the city of Franklin?
No.
Please proceed.
First of all, I don't care whether it's, what did you call it, not a good wetland?
A high quality.
Not a high quality, it's still considered a wetland. And has the DNR being bypassed by what we're doing, what you're going to do here? Sure sounds like it to me. Am I correct? Anybody got an answer for me?
Well, we can...
Is the DNR being bypassed by what you're going to do tonight?
My answer would be no.
So the DNR has no say on wetlands here in Franklin?
Well, that's two different questions, sir.
Does the DNR have a say on the wetlands in Franklin?
Sure, throughout the whole state.
Correct. That's part of the wetlands in Franklin. Why isn't the DNR here? Why are you shaking your head?
The city attorney, you had your hand up.
Well, frankly, I'm not going to testify because I'm not able to swear myself in. But there are conditions for any necessary DNR approval prior to any building permit within the draft documents, which might be
So you're going to try and approve this before the DNR has given their approval. And I'm sure there's a law somewhere that states that all approvals have to be made before the city can make their approval.
City attorney?
City code provides for approvals to be conditional on any state approvals.
You're just changing it around, but I think the law reads the other way.
That's my answer.
Does the law read the other way or not?
If the law read that way, I would tell you what the law read as I just did.
Okay. Secondly, you're talking about that long stretch there and the road. The road isn't even in yet. And they want to put apartments in. What's going to come first, the road or the apartments?
I think what one thing that needs to be clarified, we're in a public hearing. No decisions have been made at all.
Correct, but they're asking for a setback then for a road that isn't even there.
Right, and we, like, with what you're doing, we're taking your testimony and the plan commissioners are listening to it.
Okay. Again, I have another question for David Fowler. I just heard that if Waukesha gets the water that they're asking for from Oak Creek, they're going to run it right up Putes Road. Now, I'm sure you are on board with some of this conversation because it always starts way ahead of time. Am I correct in that statement?
I'm looking to the city attorney if I can answer that question.
You know, I would suggest this. With regard to plan commissioners answering questions, it's not necessarily a requirement for plan commission body members to answer citizen questions during the public hearing. They can take those under consideration and decide to answer those after the public hearing is closed. And under this type of code sworn testimony required public hearing, I suggest that be the course of practice.
Yeah, I guess I'd go a step further that there was, for some time period, there was these hearings were to take testimony, not to answer questions. There was a meeting some time ago where a person did start to ask questions. City attorney told the chairman, me, that under the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, people have a right to ask questions. Whether the common council members and the plan commission wish to answer them is completely up to them.
So you don't have to answer any of my questions?
No.
Okay. I would ask if you would please give me some kind of a clarification on this later on about the...
I think I can put some light on some of the questions that you just asked. I don't know that there's ever been a time in the history of the city of Franklin where the city of Franklin did not abide by any of the laws of the state of Wisconsin, including those of the Department of Natural Resources.
No, my question here is, if they're going to run that pipeline up Putes Road, is that going to interfere
I've had discussions recently with Waukesha and Oak Creek, and you must know something that I don't because no
Oak
one has
Creek
told
had
me
it
where.
Paper.
No, the question was is that the facilities, the water manager for Waukesha, said someone had said, a public official in Franklin, not me, that there was a possibility that the pipes could go to along Putes Road. Subsequent articles came back and it said the mayor of Franklin was very, very upset that you have two communities having a discussion about running pipes through it without ever talking to any of the
Correct.
Elected officials. So to answer your question,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's no decision at all that's been made or any decision by anybody to run any pipes up Putes Road.
Point being is eventually we would want all the infrastructures in before we go and put anything up. Am I correct? You would think. I also want to make a statement. I don't think the wetlands should be filled in at all, anywhere in this city. First of all, a lot of us have moved out here to have a little bit of country in the city. And
in the mornings on Saturdays and Sundays, and I know one of the people sitting up here has sat out on his patio at nighttime and watched the geese and the ducks and everybody, birds flying around like I have. And don't go pointing fingers. And I sit out on Saturday and Sunday mornings on my front porch. And my neighbors will testify that 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm out there reading the paper, having a coffee, and I enjoy seeing this. And it's peaceful and quiet. And that's a good quality of life, especially for somebody my age. And then all of a sudden to start filling in these wetlands where these birds migrate from one wetland to the next, that's not a good thing to happen. A lot of people, and there was a couple here at the last council meeting that said that they moved out here because of the wetlands. And they're the ones that live on Bryan Court, and you know what problems you got over there. But the last time that I know of that you filled in wetlands was over here in Caitlin Woods. And I called the DNR before any buildings were put up. Now, I don't know if they had anything to do with the condos that went up there or not. It's irrelevant. The condos went up about 8 years ago. This spring, my daughter went over there, and she was going to buy one. And she got a great price for it. She was ready to put down the money and sign the papers, and she found out that some of them were getting water in the basement and that the condo association had to pay for it. So the developer didn't have to for the water in the basement, and he built it on wetlands. Look what happened to Target's parking lot down here that was on partial wetlands. He had to redo all of that. When you fill in wetlands, what happens? 8, 10 years, these people don't worry about it, and you people might not be up there. Somebody else might be taking your place. But me as a citizen, I still got to worry about it. Next thing. If they were to build their apartments, why do they have to build them where there's wetlands? There's plenty of apartment space right down Loomis Road where that abandoned farmhouse and that silo is. And you talk about eyesores, that's another one here in Franklin. But that's solid ground over there. They could build their apartments over there. Just east of the you know where I'm talking. Or they could put them further down where the ramp goes off to Rawson Avenue. And in fact, that might even be an ideal place for them, because then all they'd have to do is put a little walkway and they could go right over to Pick and Save and all the other businesses that are there out the back. That would be an ideal location for them. Or here's even a better one. Move their apartments right to the corner where Myers wants to go, and take and develop the area around the wetlands where all these nice geese and duck and birds and everything else are, and make a nice walkway for the people, the elderly, so they can go and walk around and enjoy this. You know, our city is not using the wetlands to their advantage, I don't think. They should develop around these wetlands homes and apartments so that people can enjoy a little bit of country in the city. All right? Then, as far as Myers is concerned, they can move into the Century, which is already there, and into the Walgreens, which is already there. And if those two buildings aren't big enough, they can go east and build out east. And if that still isn't enough room for them, they can go out to Rawson Avenue, east of McDonald's, because there's a big lot there. There's plenty of room. Or they can develop on other areas. My point here is we're making the city a hodgepodge by putting Myers where we think we want it. Would we, just because they're offering good tax dollars, Myers is, you're going to let them get away with this, or are you and running our city, or should you let the taxpayers and your voters run the city? They should be told where they can put their business, and that's it. And there's a lot of other places that they could go to. They can go on 27th Street, 76th Street, like you just mentioned, and Ryan Road. or anything east of Ryan Road. If we must expand in future years, let's plan to use the outer edges of our city for our businesses, and let's keep the inner city more residential, churches, schools, apartments, condos. Look what happened to Whitefish Bay. That's a beautiful community. They got one shopping center on the north end and one on the west end. And the whole community is all in the middle. Boy, what a novel idea. Let's deal with these issues before we go too far off base. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
No.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak?
Here I live in Dusky, 8030 West Vincent Way.
Could you please raise your right hand?
I guess I don't quite understand why this is the first time I had to do this, but go ahead.
You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Please state your full name, spell your last name, and state your address for the record.
My first name is spelled L-E, capital R-O-Y. Most people misspell that. And last name is L-E-W-A-N-D-O-W-S-K-I. What else?
Do you have any employment or contractual relationship or other relationship with the City of Franklin or with the Apple Financial Group?
No, I'm independent, both ways.
Please proceed to provide your testimony and information.
I want to mention the fact that I agree with this gentleman here. The city is destroying itself. I mentioned to Mr. Mayor several times we don't have a downtown. Now we're going through with these wetlands. And again, there are a lot of places where people are getting water because of wetland in their basement. I don't understand why this has to come up. The other day I was at the environmental meeting, and they approved this thing. These two people here said that the DNR did approve it at one time, if I understand correctly, but they haven't approved this design. So if that's correct of my understanding, then the DNR really has not seen this plan. But one of the things is the same group of people planted 6,000 square feet yards of dirt on that property 2 years ago. I went after the engineering department to request an environmental fence to be put around there. For some reason, this city looked the other way until the spring of the year to force them to put that in there. Why are we always changing the rules for these big people? Just like I got up before, and I can't understand why we will allow somebody to put cars in a parking lot 36 cars in a neighbor's yard. We're destroying this city. We don't have a downtown. We got hodgepodge, a distribution of buildings. We've got people up front here. How many of these people have the background I got? There isn't one of them. Yet they're representing the whole city. This is ridiculous. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Pardon?
Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Want to go first? Yeah. Well, why don't you? Because I might have some answers to your question, possibly.
Well, why don't you answer?
Can I just have someone explain the map?
I'm sorry?
The map.
Yes.
I just wanted to know the green wetland on the bottom. On what road is that?
Pute.
Or Pute? That's Pute.
Did you hear that? Yeah, we are in a public hearing. This man is saying, yeah, sir.
Could you please raise the right hand? You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
Please state your full name, spell your last name, and state your address for the record.
Anthony Henneke, 9114 West Putes Road. I am the property directly east of UFG's development.
And please spell your last name.
H-E-N-I-K-A.
Do you have any contractual or employment relationship with the City of Franklin or the applicant?
No.
Okay, please proceed.
John, Bob. First, I'd like to say that UFG has been a fine neighbor to the north of me, and they were kind enough, you know, to come, explain everything that they wanted to do, and they're usually very cooperative, very concerned about the neighbors and the environment. I do have some concerns, though, so I need some clarity. Bob, on the sidewalk along Pete's Road, you're going to narrow that area down considerably, or you're going to build some kind of, you know, right along here, the ground.
Oh.
The ground is quite higher.
Mr. Hennecke, could you please just take the microphone because we're recording it. That's all right.
But my concern is that a considerable amount of water actually does flow through my property down along the fence line and down Putes Road to the drainage ditch over there, which hasn't been cleaned out in 30 or 40 years, okay? And it is a considerable amount of water. And as the city knows, every now and then, it flows over Putes Road in a couple of places. So my concern is if you put a sidewalk on the north side of the road, and you fill that in, and you constrict the water flow some more, it's going to back up someplace, all right? And as it is right now, not that I'm complaining at certain times, but the way the land is graded now, the water actually runs backwards into my property, which I've told you guys, but I don't really care. It fills up my pond in the dry times, okay? So, other than the fish get away. But that would be truly a concern. I didn't mean to sandbag you, but I didn't know you were going to do that. And I've lived there for 57 years, and I can tell you, if you constrict that any more than it is now, it's going to be a big problem. Seriously.
Mr. Mayor, can I answer, please?
Sure.
City Attorney, any objections?
I'm not here to object.
Well, I'm asking for information.
I understand. The person answering would be Mr. Zolli, the person who testified for the applicant. So I wish you could answer that.
Mr. Zolli.
Okay. Thanks, Tony. To repeat once again, this is not our idea, this sidewalk. The sidewalk comes from staff for connectivity between this development and a possible future development that may occur to the west. That's not been approved. Don't know if that's ever going in. That's why I approached the city engineer and said, you know, if this has to go in, it's on city land, it's a city walk, we'll foot the bill, you design it, get the approvals and install it. When that occurs, no idea. I would hope that they would take all things in consideration. I know, and I'm going to have my wetland consultant come up next, but reprofiling a ditch, cleaning a ditch out is a challenge with the regulatory agencies. But the city has a much better chance of getting it done than a developer asking to do it to help a neighbor out.
So the way I understand it is the sidewalk that's there is not your idea.
No, that's proposed. It's a proposed idea.
It was proposed as recommendations from their plan commissioners, elected officials, et cetera, or the staff itself.
Right.
And if, in fact, that goes in, what Mr. Hennecke is saying, it's going to potentially cause him a lot of grief with the water coming across, and there's already a lot of water that collects in his yard. So if at all possible, something should be done with the sidewalk.
Well, my understanding, and again, this is only conjecture or rumor, is that the sidewalk along Putes Road was going to go on the south side of the road, which would actually have the least impact on the wetland areas on the south side, because that's just a little area where the drainage ditch goes underneath. Okay, and so if that is about the middle of the property, which is far away from the intersection there, and a good piece away from the hill, they could put a crosswalk there and access, you know, a sidewalk on the south side, and then walk up to the development on the corner, whatever that may be someday. The other thing is that I suggested to you once before, okay, there actually is a crossing by the barn.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, they could put a sidewalk across there, except I have no idea what the development would be on the other side as far as gaining access. But that would have far less impact as well if there were an easement between the two properties.
Yeah, and that was discussed, I think, early on. We were approached. I mean, we don't have a problem with it, but the city road is running through the development. We show a sidewalk that connects to the sidewalk we've already installed on Forest Hill Avenue, which ultimately ties in right to City Hall here in the library. We want to be a good neighbor. We want to work with the city. We always have. When this was suggested about connectivity, about a walk being installed there, it was like, not our idea, but whatever the city deems necessary, and I'm assuming that, I'm assured that the city engineers would ensure that not only the culvert would be large enough to accommodate it, but this particular design, we've got that sidewalk shown right up at the edge of the pavement, so there's a curb and a five-foot walk to minimize the impact to the road ditch, to the wetland. And like I said earlier, Jack is saying from all practicality and safety, for life safety, and I think you had a resident hit on that street this last year. It's not a walking road. There is no shoulder there. And so, you know, we minimize the impact because it is a hot button. I think if the city took it on, they would look at more life safety issues. And that's all about roads and walkways, and the DNR realized that. Got to have roads and sidewalks. And they do go through marginally wet areas.
Right. And the entire conversation is all contingent upon if the Meyer development as is,
right,
as proposed, was to go in there.
Right.
And last time I checked, I don't believe that the Department of Natural Resources has granted any permits for that store.
Right.
So if there's no development of the Meyer store, then the issue is sort of moot.
I understand that as far as, but the side, eventually something will develop there.
Correct.
Okay. Something. Even if it's office space, and maybe people in the apartments will walk to it.
Or they could reopen the fabulous place that's
there.
Yeah,
the bar, yeah. So anyway, without being too facetious, the problem is that their sidewalk comes down. I would say that it would be actually safer for people to cross Putes Road, at, you know, perpendicular, straight across, go to the other side, go down to the corner, you know, go at the light or whatever is going to be there, and then, you know, access whatever development is there. Or they go from the north way and assume that there's some kind of sidewalk or whatever to come in from the north property. All that's high and good ground up that way. But literally millions of gallons flow through there during the spring. And if you can, that, it all narrows down into that one little area, and then that drainage ditch in its current condition cannot take the flow as it is. I just warn you, gentlemen, seriously, I live there. I see it all the time. I've lived there for years and years. Even when they dug it, it still wasn't probably deep enough or wide enough to take care of the flow, because that also comes from Highway 100 this way, on the other side of Highway 100. Water comes through. Now it's Henry's, just deflects, you know, back that way. It all comes and goes down that, and eventually winds up in Lake Michigan, actually. So that's my only concern. As to that long strip of wetland, that really existed because Hartman's put all their drain tile to there and drained it to the road ditch, and various things, you know, blew in there. It's not very, again, high quality. I don't really have a problem with that. And on the towards the north end of that little strip there, I guess my other real question for you, Bob, is all that hard surface, where's that water going to go to? Because it's all, you know, sloped this way.
There's actually less hard surface in this design than the previously approved design.
I agree with you.
There was 58 units less in this design than was previously, 12 years ago.
I understand, Bob. But my real problem is it's still a lot of hard roof and surface there.
Well, any development.
And there's not one drainage pond on there.
Yeah, there is. There's one right here, Tony.
Where? Oh, right sorry. Here. Sorry.
The post runoff cannot exceed pre runoff. That's basic. There's another pond right here.
Okay.
There's another pond right here. The water's collected.
All right. I'm sorry. I don't have my glasses on.
You know, speaking of that sidewalk on the south side, wasn't it about 5 years ago where the city had a public hearing regarding all the property owners? There was possible monies involved from the state to improve Cutes Road, and they were going to put a walk. They didn't want it. None of the neighbors wanted the walk on the south side. They didn't want it.
Because we lived there.
Right.
But so, the thing is that eventually, when this all develops and it all gets filled in, you need to have some type of sidewalk along Cutes Road.
Connectivity is a big part of Baldur.
So people can get places and safely. There is no shoulder, and the ditches are steep, right. So people will get hurt.
Right. Well, I'm assuming the engineering department would take that all in consideration, whether they had to bury a huge culvert in here to accommodate a walk, they would do it.
Yeah, okay. That's all my concern is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. City attorney, yes, where you
please raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your full name, spell your last name, and state your address for the record.
Donna Pankratz, P as in Peter, A-N-K-R-A-T-Z, 9890 West Elm Court, in Franklin.
Do you have any employment, contractual, or other relationship with either the applicant or the city of Franklin?
No, I don't.
Please proceed.
The plans are nice. The city's going to grow. It's a nice idea. But again, I agree with the gentleman prior to me regarding the wetlands. I agree with Jim regarding the wetlands. I lived in an area where development came in the city of Franklin. And the DNR came through, and the city approved a development, and the water was changed. And my property went from a nice piece of property to including half of my front yard in wetlands because the water moved. I'm sorry, the water is gonna run. You start pushing this stuff one way, it's gonna move another. And this is natural for this land. And you're gonna have to figure this out way before you start doing some of this. Pushing this water one way, it's going to end up another way. And it's, I mean, luckily, my basements aren't wet, but, I mean, there what is a beautiful piece of property right straight across the street from me that the city mows every time I get mad and tell them to come and cut the weeds down because it's unusable property. They gained it. The city cuts it because I don't like looking at it. It became a wetland, and the gentleman that owned it prior to, it's city's property now. So, I mean, things change when you start pushing this water around a little bit. Nice idea. I run down Pete's Road. Been running down Pete's Road for 20 years. Have I almost got hit? Yeah. Would a sidewalk be great? Yeah, it would be nice. But I don't feel putting it on that side of the street is an appropriate side. That there is water. We run over ice in the winter, in the spring, when that water melts, it's over the street. That, I mean, it's, you're pushing a lot of water around somewhere, some way, and someone's gonna get wet somewhere, somehow. Putting a sidewalk on that side, and it's just not appropriate. It makes more sense on the other side. But then, like you mentioned, they don't want it. They don't want to cut or shovel a sidewalk. The property owners, if I had one of them, I don't want to shovel a sidewalk. So there's a lot of things involved when you start putting a sidewalk somewhere. Whose responsibility is it going to be to keep it clean, take care of it, and where's it going to go? That sidewalk's going to come out and go nowhere. It doesn't connect with anything. It goes nowhere. I'm sorry. Nice idea, but not yet.
You don't have to be sorry. Yes, I just want to see if everyone else has spoken that wants to speak. And city attorney.
Please raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your full name, spell your last name, and state your address for the record.
My name is Dave Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R. My address is South 83, West 23915 Artesian Avenue in Big Bend.
Do you have any employment or contractual or other relationship with either the applicant or the City of Franklin?
Yes, I'm the environmental consultant for UFG.
Please proceed.
I work for Wetland and Waterway Consulting. We're an environmental consulting firm based in Big Bend. I was responsible for flagging the wetlands on this site. I want to address the concerns these folks have had just to let you know that, and the commission members too, that everything has been done in the order it should be done out here for proper protections. After the wetlands, well, actually during the course of the wetlands being flagged, I did a joint site visit out here with Kathy Kramas from the DNR and Jesse Jensen from the DNR. Jesse is going to be the new water management specialist for the DNR in Milwaukee County. He's in a training capacity. We met out there for a couple purposes. One was to identify the wetland areas out there and just have the DNR look at them. And secondly, for Kathy and Jess to flag the ordinary high water mark of Legend Creek, in case I don't need to go into the shoreline zone regulations for you. You know what those are. So they were out there for those purposes. DNR has already been on this site and seen these wetlands and seen the Legend Creek and flagged the creek itself. The area of concern, that part of the wetland, is a roadside ditch. Typically when I flag wetlands, when I see a wetland that extends off-site from the subject property and includes the roadside ditch, there's connectivity there, I will typically flag that up as part of the entire wetland complex. That's the case here. We do that so that the DNR and the Army Corps of Engineers, when they review these types of reports, can see that connectivity. Now, the DNR and the Army Corps of Engineers have a separate category of wetlands called artificial wetlands. Artificial wetlands by state statute are those that fall in, well, there's several categories or several types. Roadside ditches are one. Stormwater ponds are another. Cooling ponds, sewage lagoons, and even landscape ponds you might have dug in your yard. Those are all called artificial wetlands because the DNR and the Army Corps of Engineers typically understand that those types of areas, while they meet wetland status, they have vegetation, hydric soils, and hydrology, which are the three things required for me to flag a wetland. They have those, but they usually serve a different purpose. They're not the primary functional values that a wetland normally serves. If they identify an area as an artificial wetland, that allows them to not even take jurisdiction over it. So any wetland the Army Corps of Engineers and the DNR says is artificial, you don't even need a permit to fill in. You have to get their permission that it's artificial. And sometimes, in the case of, let's say, a very old landscape pond that hasn't been maintained, or even a sewage lagoon that hasn't been maintained for many, many years and no longer serves its purpose, it actually could be still now a functional wetland. Roadside ditches very seldom fall into that category. So when the city decides to apply for a permit for the sidewalk in this area, the very first thing that they'll want to do is ask the DNR and the Army Corps of Engineers if they're going to classify this ditch as an artificial wetland. The DNR and the Corps may say yes. If they say no, we'd like to continue to maintain it as a bona fide wetland, the DNR is going to work with you guys when you apply for that wetland fill permit to make sure there's not any water problems. Part of your wetland fill permit can and probably even should be approval from the DNR to dredge as much of this ditch out on this side of the current entrance drive and to the east of the current entrance drive to make sure that you have adequate water flow out there. It simply isn't going to be a problem. Believe me, the DNR is very concerned about issuing fill permits that are going to have negative impacts that they theoretically might not be aware of. I'm sure that the entire
permit application process for getting this wetland filled is going to take those types of things into account. And lastly, to answer this gentleman's question about why the DNR is not here tonight, well, first of all, they've been on the site. They're aware of everything that's out there. Secondly, the Department of Natural Resources and the Army Corps of Engineers typically don't like to weigh in on these kind of things until there have been local approvals. The DNR and the Corps feel that if they're going to spend their time reviewing an extensive permit application for something, a Chapter 30 permit or a wetland fill, they want to know before they spent that period of time that you guys are going to approve this project. It's a waste of their time. They've been down that road, been there and done that. That's why they don't do it anymore. They want to hear from you, the community, saying, yep, UFG's project is a good one. We would like to see it go forward. We don't have any problems. The only thing we're going to do is condition it upon you, DNR, and Army Corps of Engineers issuing the permit. That's when those guys are ready to jump in the fray then, because they know their time isn't going to be wasted reviewing permits.
Okay, anything further?
No.
Yes, Mr. Haley?
I'd like to ask a question of the witness. A very good description of what's going on. I guess I'd like to know specifically what the status of DNR, Corps of Engineers, review permit applications. Where is that all at? Has a permit been applied for? And I'm talking all of the wetlands that are impacted here, not just the roadside ditch, because I understand that the intent here is that that's something the city will pursue outside of this. Because I'm concerned about the other wetlands in the site. Have permit applications been submitted? Has jurisdiction been taken by either Corps or DNR? Where are we at exactly in that process? Because I understand what you're saying about the process. They don't want to act on it until we made a decision. Well, we're in exactly the same situation. We're being asked to approve something that we don't know whether they'll approve it. So which one's supposed to come first, I'm not really sure, but we need to help to try to understand exactly what the possibility or probability of the DNR approving any of these fills.
Point of order.
We're actually during a public hearing.
Point of order. Can he answer for the DNR? Does he have that authority?
As a former union rep, this is not a union meeting. I understand the point of order out of it.
Can he speak for the DNR?
I would clarify. My question is, I'm not asking him to speak for the DNR. I want to know what the status of the applicant's permits to the DNR and Corps are. Where are they in that process, not what does the DNR or Corps
And I guess I would add, at this point, I would ask that all parties address all their concerns to the chair, not to each other. This is not cross-debate. This is not argumental conversation. This is, we're under parliamentary procedure. We are in a public hearing, so please refer your questions or comments to the chair. Sir, you don't.
Okay, the answer is that as far as the wetland fill permit goes, it's my understanding the city has not applied for that yet. Again, it's going to be a city application process. So that has not been broached with the DNR or the Army Corps of Engineers at this time. The other wetland issues, as you can see, UFG is asking for no wetland fill permits. The only thing they're asking for is a reduced setback under the UDO of 30 feet versus 50, which was their original approved setback to begin with. The addition, once the municipality is satisfied with the design, then we'll be in a position to go forward with any DNR permits we might need. Because Legend Creek runs along the side of this site, there are a couple of DNR permits that could potentially be needed. One would be a grading in excess of 10,000 square feet within the 75-foot offset of the creek. That's a potential permit. Of course, that can't even be applied for until you have given UFG approved plan that I can then package up and take to the Department of Natural Resources and the Army Corps of Engineers and say, this is what we're going to build and where. Here are the permits we need. The second thing is a possibility for ponds, any ponds, including stormwater ponds, constructed within 500 feet of a navigable waterway, also require a Chapter 30 permit. The answer is the same there. I can't do that until we have an approved plan.
Mr. Haley?
I guess the final answer that I'm hearing is no. No Chapter 30 fill permit applications have been submitted by it.
No. Yet. We have an approved, we have a concurrence letter from the Army Corps of Engineers indicating that the wetland as configured out there is acceptable.
Okay. DeRitter, you had your hand up. Spellick?
Yes, I just have two quick questions. It's for that ditch along the roadway, then I would be my professional opinion as well that there would not be a 404 permit from the Corps for that and possibly not even a wetland fill permit from the DNR for that. I'd like you to answer that. And then the second question I have, if this was an old farmer's field, it probably is full of drain tiles, and I'm wondering if any of those drain tiles, they're probably still in existence, they probably still have impacts on how that water's flowing, and when those are busted up, we may see further changes in some of these wetland hydrology, or is that not the case?
The first question, it is possible that neither a 404 permit nor a wetland fill permit from the DNR will be needed. That is correct. When the city gets to the point of application or prior to that, they're going to want to have a pre-application meeting with the DNR and ask that very question. Are you taking jurisdiction or are you not? Secondly, I can't speak in significant detail to the agricultural drainage tiles out here. The previous gentleman did indicate that they dump into that finger there, and that finger is an old agricultural drainage ditch. I did not see evidences of existing pipes coming in there, but the vegetation in these old ditches, I've been doing this for a long time, can be so dense you can't see it. I'd further point out that owners previous to UFG stripped the topsoil off of this site. Much of this site is completely devoid of topsoil, and I would hazard a guess that the tiles that used to serve this field were either eliminated or broken in large part then. So what you have now in current conditions may be, hydrologically, what you're going to see when these guys are finished.
Anything further? Okay. Thank you. All right, anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing that has not spoken? Is there anyone? Yes, sir. Because we have others that have spoken and wish to speak again.
Please raise your right hand. I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do, sir.
Please state your full name, spell your last name, and state your address for the record.
Martin South. Last name, S-O-U-T-H, like the direction.
Address?
9095 West Highland Park Avenue, here in Franklin, number 601.
Do you have any contractual or employment or other relationship with the City of Franklin or with the applicant, UFG?
I am the building manager of the newest building, Forest Hill Highland, Building 6.
For UFG?
Yes, sir.
Please proceed.
I'd just like to first thank the mayor and the city for the fact that I believe that you do not make decisions haphazardly just based on any of these things. Sir, you make decisions and change plans and do things because if you don't in this day and age, you're out of business. We worked for Forest Hill Highlands. United Financial was United Apartments at one time. For 4.5 years, moved to California for a couple years, and we just recently moved back. In that state out there, there are cities or communities and counties who are so poor off, they didn't make decisions, they weren't flexible, and they're out of business. They have no police, no fire, they don't even have garbage pickup. So thank you. Franklin is an excellent community, and I think that, and sir, our company doesn't make decisions
Sir, if you could just address the chair, please.
I'm sorry, sir. Disregarding wetlands or the DNR or the economy or the ecologies of this community, these folks pore over these kind of decisions night and day. Number one thing, they'd have to be fools to make decisions and just disregard these things. They take into account these things. I like to sit on my patio also. And I watched the geese come in and land on our property, right over again, on Forest Hill. That the geese come in by the hundreds. I love to watch them. I like to watch the deer come out and walk across our property. In the daytime, not at night, in the daytime. The coyote is not intimidated at all. He comes out and craps on our sidewalk, not yours. And so on. The point is that our company is not trying to infiltrate laws, rules, regulations, or not trying to do things that would be against any law. But we provide housing for senior citizens and some in really hurting situations. our building filled up before it was sold out, before it was even completed, because people understand our reputation. They know who we are, how we take care of people. And these are people who are some very, very limited in their ability to be community members. But we have some people also that are very, very strong people who have worked in big positions, and they were pillars of the community, so to speak. And these folks, from one end of the spectrum to the other, come to us to live there, sell their homes, their houses, and they come to live with us because of our reputation, because of how we take care of them, and because of how we appreciate the city of Franklin, who you are, what you do, and how you run your business. So I thank you, and I just want you to understand that we came back because of this company. We moved to California, and we came back because we love Wisconsin, we love Franklin, we love our company, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak with
you. Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing that hasn't already spoken? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Not? Okay.
Do I have to be sworn in again?
You've been previously sworn. Please state your name.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. You mentioned, Mayor, the fact that there are some circumstances where developers don't make mistakes and, you know, violate the laws or the UDO of the city, and I think that's what your intention was, and I can't remember the words you said at the beginning here. However,
I can guarantee you that was not my intention.
One of the issues I've got is, number one, the landfill on Mars Farm, which is another example of the city allowing this kind of circumstances to come and violate some of the wetlands in our area. And when you go back to several years when this Winston, Mark Carson property, he was fined $42,000, I believe, for misusing the wetlands. And I thought the city should have been involved in that and stopped that man from doing all that. And as you see now, that asphalt has been replaced and some of it's still bad. But we have issues with the city. The citizens have issues with the city doing all this unusual procedures. And I just can't understand why a planning department like we have has all the authority to use the UDO to, like, offset the parking lot, take care of all these plants. Most of the people in this city don't understand what's going up here at City Hall. With just a few people trying to guide us down a road? No. There's got to be more people involved and let the people know in advance to come up here. Incidentally, next time you talk outside without a coat, you're going to have another cold.
Or a hat.
That's all I got to say.
I still like the hat you were wearing the other day. Yes, sir. And I think we're going to wrap it up after this, sir.
Jim Lysak, 8756 West Mallard Court, and I've already been sworn.
Yes.
Just a couple of comments. I trust that these people mean very well. I still don't see why they can't take that whole complex, move it down Loomis Road, put it where that ramp is from Loomis to Rawson, and build a nice little walkway over so all these seniors that the gentleman back here talked about, who can have a good quality of life, walk over to the stores over there and be able to use them. You know, there's nothing up here for them to walk to now.
I'm smiling because Leroy lives right there, and then all the water would go into Leroy's face. That's why he's smiling.
That's all right. That's all right. Leroy can handle it.
I know.
Secondly, I don't know, when they put those condos in Caitlin Woods, if anybody ever watched how they backfilled up through the wetlands and into the wetlands, they put those fences, what they call fences up, they backfilled right over them. That's when I called the DNR. And nobody watches this stuff, and that's why the water backs up. But what she had to say is really an important issue, because if my memory serves me correct, about 20 years ago, Franklin was having nothing but problems about Putes Road being flooded over. So what did they do? They fixed that. They raised the road. No problem, except she runs down it, and she's still running on the water. So what kind of fix is this? And I'll bet she's right, and in 10 to 15 years, they're going to have water in the basements of those apartments. God, I hope it doesn't happen, but if this goes through, and they do, you're going to be the ones to blame, all of you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Anyone else before I close the public hearing? Yes, ma'am. You didn't speak, did you? Come on. It's a nice, bright blouse.
Your right hand is raised. Do you promise to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your full name, spell your last name, and state your address for the record.
Jane South, S-O-U-T-H.
Address?
9095. West Highland Park Avenue.
Number 601.
Number 601.
Do you have any employment or contractual or other relationship with the applicant, UFG, or the City of Franklin?
I do. I live at Forest Hill. Forest Hill Highland. Yes.
Please proceed.
That is my husband that just spoke to me. I, too, moved with him from California recently. I will tell you that we absolutely support the company. We love living there. The community they are building is wonderful. We aren't just a group of old people living over there. And we, too, move from other places to get the city atmosphere. I do have just one thing to say about California. We happened to go to one meeting like this, and they did have a time limit on the people that got up to speak, like us. And you should make a rule that everybody gets one turn and no more. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Anyone else that hasn't spoken? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing. And City Attorney.
Not in follow-up to the last citizen's comments, but there is also a standard public hearing on the text amendment ordinance under this item on the agenda. So I would suggest proceed to that item, and Mr. Fuchs can read the public hearing notice. Should proceed per usual for ordinary public hearings without sworn testimony.
Mr. Fuchs?
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, November 8th, 2012 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by United Financial Group, Inc. for approval of an ordinance to amend Section 15-3.0436 of the Unified Development Ordinance Plan Development District Number 31, Forest Hill Highlands / United Financial Group, Inc., to allow for a market rate and senior housing apartment development at Putes Road and Highland Park Avenue, the southwest 22.65 acres of the Forest Hill Highlands senior community. The property, which is the subject of the application for the development of market rate and senior housing apartments within Plan Development District Number 31, bears tax key number 840-9999-002.
Right. This is City Attorney.
Just a thought, and I'm looking at all the citizens and persons in the audience, and I'm thinking maybe the chair might want to wish to advise them that the Plan Commission has heard the comments with regard to the public hearing upon the special exception application, that those comments and testimony would be included in the record for the entirety of this matter, including consideration of the text amendment application. In other words, they've been heard on the subject matter beyond just special exception in the prior hearing, and if they don't wish to speak up again, they may wish to know that the record will be maintained with this item also.
As the city attorney just mentioned, the record and the testimony will be maintained for all those that are in the audience. Under the public hearing, any parties wishing to speak during the public hearing? Well, I'm first going to open up the public. Anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes, sir.
John McMurtry.
Oh, regular.
Principal with United Financial Group. The wetland regulations is a little beyond my expertise. I'm glad that our scientist and Bob, who's handled our construction for 15 years, but I would like to just give a general overview. This has been before you once before conceptually, and this is substantially consistent with that conceptual presentation. We go back to 2000 when you originally approved our original PDD, and we began construction in 2001. And we've got some history of having some clarifications to our development, but the overall design down in this 23-acre parcel from our original approved design 12 years ago has largely been in response to not only the Meyer retail development, which was a change from the original retail design for that corner, but also a change in the overall market as it affects our senior housing. We opened last year and this year our fifth and our sixth building of elderly underground elevated buildings, and next year we begin the first of nine senior townhome buildings with private entrance, direct entry garage, and that will complete the kitty corner portion of our development. So we would then come down to this southwestern land, and the townhomes down in the southeast corner of the site are 24 units in total and are similar to the townhomes that we're going to begin building next spring. But when we redesigned this, and I don't know if we can back up, Nick, to the overview that shows the overlay of the original design with the current design. And I think this is important. If you'll look down in that southeast corner, you can see that we had a two-story, 40-unit building. And so now relative to Mr. Henneke, and I don't know, is Tony still here or is he gone? Okay. And so when we looked at everything that we've learned during the last 12 years, not only with this site but with the other nine Wisconsin senior communities we have, we went to the design up in the northeast corner, and that instead of that being two buildings in that location, it's a single building cluster. It really reads as multiple buildings, but there's connectivity so that the 5,000-foot community center can be enjoyed by everything. The other thing that we're doing with this building is we're going to even a higher-grade interior apartment. We're going with 9-foot ceilings instead of 8-foot. We're going with granite counters. Yes, Mayor?
Could you put the overlay back up? Question. This has already been approved.
Yeah.
Okay. So if there was no change, you've already gone through the plan commission and the common council and got approvals for all of that, which means you could proceed now. And you went through much of, well, I understand. That whole plan had been approved at one time.
It had been approved 12 years ago. The redesign is actually 58 units.
The redesign is actually 58 units less in total.
So what we're really talking about is we're talking the alteration or the modification of the original plan and then the impact of that.
Correct. Being a major amendment because of those changes, that's why we're
here. Well, I think that's important because I think there's a lot of people here that believe that this is the first time that the
This was approved 12 years ago for 344 units here. Three three-story buildings, three two-story buildings. We reduced the size of the buildings. You're talking about more residential-sized buildings here adjacent to the neighbors to the south on Buttes, on both sides of the road rather than three-story. You have two-story townhomes here. These are market rate. They're executive type housing. High-end finishes on the interior. These will be our senior townhomes, 2.8s and 2.4s. As John was mentioning, this is 130-unit, three-story. This section here is two-story that adjoins our neighbor, Tony Hennick, over here. And as John was saying, this all the amenities are within the building, and we've been going to this particular
I'm thinking that when the plan that was approved 12 years ago came in, that was actually a pre-Solomon plan.
You were around.
Yeah,
yeah,
Walters,
yeah.
Okay. And Mr. Ritter was here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no.
Mr.
Ritter was still here.
Or Mr. Fowler were up here at the time.
And you were an alderman at the time, I believe.
I was an alderman.
That's right.
That's correct. Yeah, well, you remember that well because I gave you a hard time on this. But, you know, just so everybody understands that this is not a new plan.
That's one thing that you pointed out. This development has been on the board some time. I'm sorry, John.
Yeah, and so what we're really doing is we're taking everything that we've learned not only with the Forest Hill Highlands senior community but the other nine senior communities, and partly in response to the retail development to our west. And from that, we'll just open it for any questions and how we can respond. I think staff did an excellent job in digging into the details and giving an explanation not only of the development but of the history on this site, and I think the information is very well laid out.
I don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, I'm getting all these compliments about the staff, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Well, I think the staff worked very hard, and compared to the struggles, I think we worked 2.5 or 3 years on the original approvals of this development. Of course, you didn't know who we were at that time, but
I was with the parks director and the county executive today, and was over at the Rock, and the people, Mr. Zimmerman, gave glowing reports for the staff, and Mr. Schaefer and the new parks director gave glowing reports. So I'm wondering what's going on.
Must be good things.
Anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing?
I just got a question. How close are any of your other buildings and stuff in other areas to a Meijer store?
Not to a Meijer store, okay. Because I think they're just...
Because somebody's trying to sell this city that Meijer's is an upscale store. And my wife and I visited it, and it's as bad as a Walmart, if not worse.
Right.
Well, we have nothing to do with Meijer, but we're very happy to have the Meijer store in the community. We have some concerns because we're in the back face of the back building, but as a member of the community, and we checked them out very carefully. Our chief operating officers has a brother who shops at Meijer stores all the time down in Ohio, and they think they're terrific. So we've heard a lot of terrific things about the Meijer stores.
Would you buy a suit from them?
Sir, I've been very liberal in allowing things. We are under a public hearing. If you'd like to talk, speak during the public hearing.
Sure. Jim Lysak, 8756 West Mallard Court. Would you buy your clothes from them? Have you seen
sir,
the quality of clothes?
Sir, could you address
there?
Your questions to me?
Okay. Have you looked at the store? Because I have asked the whole common council to take a trip down to the closest one.
The city attorney reminds me this is not the subject matter, but to answer your question, no.
Okay. Then I would suggest that before you okay this, someone go and look at it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I would just repeat that given that the Meijer issue has come up, that we did... We brought a letter in here to the Common Council from Meijer's asking that the entire development project be placed on hold until December 31st. So let's not put the cart in front of the horse. There has been no approvals whatsoever of any Meijer's. Right. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Not, I'm going to close the public hearing. And the city attorney, my understanding is the plan commission member does not have to take action tonight on any of these items. He also has the ability of discussing everything that went on here tonight.
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. And before the commissioners this evening is a redraft of the draft ordinance to amend the UDO to allow for this proposed development and plan development district number 31. And the nature of the redraft was because of contacts to me within the last 3 days from the engineering department and the Department of City Development regarding certain issues, and I looked at those and take a peek. Some of these are rather lengthy, but I can concisely describe them to you. There's a little bit of reformatting and rearrangement on standard provisions that were already in there, but the new section 6 on page 4 is, and there was a need for a certified survey map mentioned in the staff report in the packet. So I added a condition providing that of approval that a certified survey map shall be required and approval thereof by the Common Council as part of this ordinance. And further, the rest of that provision, which is lengthy, provides standard terms of a boilerplate provision requiring, in conjunction with this approval, as well as the certified survey map, the provision of a development agreement. And that goes with, provides four public improvements, including the future's potential street extensions, retaining walls, and other improvements, and was requested by the city engineer, as well as providing surety letter of credit for those improvements under the required development agreement. Section 7, commission heard earlier about the situation regarding the sidewalk. I received this information from Department of City Development staff. The city engineer hasn't been available since I was informed of this. I was told that the sidewalk situation to be installed and applied for as far as DNR approvals are required was acceptable by the city engineer, and that section simply provides that as conditional approval of this ordinance, and this would also be a condition in further CSM approvals that the applicant shall deposit a sum sufficient or provide a letter of credit in amount reasonably necessary as determined by the city engineer to allow for installation of the sidewalk on the north side of West Pubis Road as depicted on the plans which are the subject of this application prior to the issuance of a building permit, and that shall be city responsibility to provide for such installation. I also was advised by staff that the only wetland filling with in any way resulting from this entire project with regard to the sidewalk installation in the public right-of-way, that there is no wetland filling within the private property of the applicant here. Section 8, I did nonetheless add a condition that applicant shall obtain all approvals required by all state and federal regulations as may be necessary for the development. I did hear testimony earlier from the environmental consult for the applicant that there may be some future DNR applications and approvals required. That condition would require that without necessarily adding specifically DNR, including but not limited to. Section 9, planning manager has received a couple of emails from the DNR. This was an issue that arose during the summer, and staff thought was addressed during a meeting with DNR staff in City Hall within the last 5 weeks, I'm going to say. And the subject matter is that DNR considers any
any development within the shoreline floodland zone to require specific activities and to refer to those areas within the local zoning code. I'll put this very briefly. The city has this all documented since 1989, primarily under the signature of city engineer and then city planner also, John M. Bennett. And back in the late 1980s, state statutes required local municipalities to adopt shoreline wetland zoning ordinances. A model map and ordinance was provided to the city by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The map itself happened to be entitled Final Map. The city of Franklin then held more than one public hearing. I recall the city engineer said multiple public hearings and recorded voluminous concerns and issues by citizens testifying at those public hearings. 5 weeks ago, approximately, whenever there was this meeting amongst staff at unrelated applicant and DNR staff, I recall quickly reviewing those records, and they confirmed that DNR staff was present at these public hearings. Those comments were sent to DNR. There was evidence of DNR receiving those comments and advising the city that it did not have to proceed to adopt those shoreline wetland zoning map requirements as part of its ordinance until DNR responded to the concerns. And the short ending to a long story is that DNR never did. And now DNR is raising the issue that Franklin does not have shoreline wetland zoning, and part of the code and standard boilerplate provisions is that under such circumstances, either when there is regulated development activity within a shoreline wetland area, and there, I'm not fully conversant with the distance factors here, but there's wetland buffer and wetland setback development occurring in this particular matter, that the city shall first adopt the zoning map requirements for shoreline floodland, and if not, notify the DNR of the approval of any regulation such as this proposed ordinance, which may result in that development, and then DNR can choose whether or not it wishes to step in and supersede local code by, in effect, imposing the adoption of a shoreline wetland ordinance. So that's a long story. City engineer, city planning manager, and I all understood from that meeting about 5 weeks ago on an unrelated application that DNR was going to respond to that information I think provided to the city, but I only smiled because it's a similar circumstance as in 1989, and now on this application, Mr. Tito received two emails of the same ilk as with the prior application, as if that meeting and the information provided never occurred. So I can tell you that this Section 9 has that same provision where DNR can step in and would be noticed, but I also added this provision may be waived in writing by the city engineer and the city attorney following review of the subject matter with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, with any such waiver to be annexed here to as exhibit capitals WIDNR. And my thought is to just contact them once and for all resolve this. And if it's not resolvable in that fashion, that condition is there. Section, the new Section 10 proposed condition simply states and requires the fact that this proposed development is taxable and not tax exempt. That's a condition of approval of this ordinance. And Section 11 is just a put back where it belongs, boilerplate provision that public terms and conditions of this land are acceptable.
Okay. Mr. Deedle, I have your document, your recommendation. You have Department of City Development staff recommends approval of the Planned Development District Amendment, Natural Resources Special Exception Application. Subject to the conditions of approval and attached draft ordinance. You heard all the testimony tonight from all parties. Is there anything that has come up that would make you want to change your recommendation or alter it?
No, sir.
And so why don't you tell us why you're recommending approval?
In regards to the wetland issues, I believe that this is the proper process and the proper order for the process. Yeah. City looks at it first. It's our city. It's our community. The impacts will be greater upon us than they will be upon the state. So we review this project first. We recommend approval. We recommend approval with conditions, or we recommend denial. And then those conditions in this particular case for the wetlands properly say a condition is the DNR and Army Corps must also approve these wetland changes. And I believe that is the proper process to follow. So that if there is an issue with these wetlands, the DNR does not approve, and they notify us, and then the Common Council may reevaluate their approval.
What about Mr. Haneke's testimony about the sidewalk and the water coming over into his property?
I can speak a little bit more about the need for the sidewalk and less about the stormwater impacts. From the need for the sidewalk, and I believe a number of plan commissioners probably can say this as well, I believe this is an important connection. We have to look long range. We have no guarantee that the Meyer project will proceed, but that area is properly zoned for development. Something someday will happen there. People already walk on Putes to go to Walgreens. This development will add more people in this neighborhood. This sidewalk for this phase will connect to an existing sidewalk. I believe it is proper to have a sidewalk developed at this time. I believe that it is proper to have the sidewalk on the north side of this road because crossing Putes would not be safe. Staying on this side of Putes would be safer. And the city engineer, I believe, agrees with me. He's pushed for this sidewalk. The engineering staff has pushed for this sidewalk just as much as planning staff has. So I believe the sidewalk is important now, and important on the north side of the road. From the stormwater standpoint and the runoff standpoint, I've only briefly discussed some of these issues, but only in regards to the Meyer project. At that time, engineering staff told me that there were no major flooding concerns, minor flooding concerns, yes, major flooding concerns, no, and that the Meyer project would not exacerbate any of those.
When you say minor, what do you mean by minor flooding problems? I mean, to anybody that's being flooded, it's not minor.
Correct. But they believed that it was would not be exacerbated by this development, the Meyer development. I did not ask that specific question for this project, but I believe that they would be similar. Also, I could note that I have full faith in the engineering department that stormwater issues will be addressed during review and approval of the stormwater management plan. Stormwater issues can and will include runoff. So I believe that that process is in place, will be followed, and will identify any concerns in it. If there are any concerns identified, brought to the attention of Plan Commission or Common Council.
Okay. Any further questions, Mr. Ritter?
I would also concur with the comments that the engineering staff would address to the market. Staff memo says the applicant has provided a preliminary stormwater management plan. For the record, does that include the impact of the sidewalk being constructed?
I am not aware.
I honestly can't tell you that it does.
This is a preliminary stormwater management plan. Is the stormwater management plan still in progress at this point, or is there a final version yet to be included?
It's typically when you do a stormwater management report, you do it on what we've designed, if it works, and what we have designed. They haven't taken it to a construction document level because of the additional cost of some changes that need to be done. I would assume that that sidewalk was partly because we had to include it in the documents that it was a minimal amount of filling in that ditch. Our sidewalk was practical because it's up against the asphalt and it's just too close to the road. So engineering would come up with a different design for that whole ditch line there and how they would handle that. But I'm sure it's addressed.
And I would certainly hope that it would, but if what we have at this point is preliminary, there is an opportunity for you to follow up, and just because of the public comments we have received, someone to follow up and make sure that what is addressed in the final stormwater management plan includes...
Oh, absolutely. Developer's agreement will make us conform to that, and we actually use the documents that are reviewed by the department.
Mr. City Attorney?
I was just going to note that there is a condition number 5 in the ordinance draft requiring the submission of a final stormwater management plan to the city engineering department for review and approval, and that planning staff has been taking notes to make sure that after the testimony here today that includes the sidewalk.
Mr. Fowler?
I just wanted to note the gray area on this overhead is the floodplain, and then the purple area is out of the what would be considered the regulatory floodplain, I believe. And if I notice a few things here, you have this map indicates that the drainage is coming this way, and down into this area. If I looked at your grading plans and the documents you provided, you're not going to be into that flood area at all in the construction of your buildings or your streets. The one thing I would caution, this map is based roughly, it's not the actual FEMA map, but I believe it's almost 99% it looks almost identical to the FEMA map. Joel, I just asked that question. It seems, appears to be identical to the FEMA map. It just doesn't have the cross sections or the elevations of what the water would be. But I would caution you that map is from the 2008 digital map, 2006 digital map that the DNR put together. Is that correct, Joel?
This is the zoning map, still reflects the old flood study.
So this is the old flood study?
Yes.
The one
there are, they are similar.
They're similar, but it's the old flood
study. The new FEMA is not on that map.
Okay. That does show a slight increase in the size of the floodplain.
In certain areas.
Okay. And the other thing I'm going to caution is SEWPAC is in the process of remodeling the entire Root River watershed of which Legend Creek is a part. In Milwaukee County, they've seen a 10% increase in the flows based on the recent storms that we've had from the 2000s, the late 90s through 2000, because the sewage district did mapping in 2002, and that's not even accurate anymore on the KK River and Oak Creek. So I just caution you to think about the fact that you may see the flows, even though Legend Creek is a tributary of the Root River, it's not going to see maybe that graded increase in flows. You will see those floodplains go up, and I caution you to consider that when you're building that, to make sure you stay and have plenty of room away from the floodplain area.
The buildings on the northwest garage floor elevations are 2 foot above floodplain, and the floodplain has increased in size. We just did a redelineation, as our consultant mentioned. Civil had taken all
I,
that.
I did notice that, and I applaud you for that foresight to do that. I also want to notice that this may be the area where the ditch is, I'm assuming, again, since there's no design, there's no design or even planning done on what that sidewalk might look like or what the design is. But you will notice that that's completely within the 100-year floodplain, so it's all submerged when we have one of those big thunder dunders that cause the flooding issues that we have. It's completely submerged, and the road is completely submerged back up into this area. So, again, and those flows are going to do nothing but go up, and I applaud you for the fact that you're going to be out of report to these structures. I think that's a prudent measure to do.
I'll be on.
Thank you.
Thing we're going to do is build something that's going to
correct. The basement's with it. Thank you.
I think what's going on with me here is I had some coffee. I was invited to meet with the President of the United States' Deputy Director of Intergovernmental Affairs today, with
Chris Abley and Tom Barrett and a number of other people, and they served some coffee, and I don't think it was quite done. And that, I have all these coffee grounds in the back of my throat here. That and the cold. So, but what I wanted to comment on is some of the comments that occurred, and I usually don't comment on this, but I think as the mayor of the city, I'm going to chime in here. there's some derogatory statements that have occurred regarding the city and its design, planning, things of that nature. For the record, Northwestern Mutual Life has decided twice to build buildings in the city of Franklin instead of building it anywhere else in the world, even though they had been offered $45 million for one building. Wheaton Franciscan, which is a global corporation, has decided to build its flagship hospital in the city of Franklin because of its high standards. Staybridge Suites has built a fabulous building along 27th Street. The Indian Community School could have been built anywhere in the United States, built here. It's fabulous. Wherever I go, whoever I talk to, only talks about Franklin in the highest and best way. The only people that do not talk about Franklin in a positive manner are a lot of construction firms and parties that have to develop within the city of Franklin because they feel that the ordinances of the city are so strict and so tough in comparison to all of the other municipalities, especially their wetland ordinances. So for those that think that the city rolls over or just accepts anything in it, I got news from the rest of the world does not. And I want to put that out there once and for all. This city doesn't take a back seat to anybody. We've made the Money magazine twice as one of the top 100 communities in the United States. And quite frankly, I'm getting tired of people, especially in their own community, bad-mouthing a community that the rest of the world thinks is fantastic. So that's my piece. Mr. Haley?
A couple questions and comments, I guess. I'm sure you're familiar with this. In the revised resolution, the new Section 7, it speaks of a letter of deposit. I guess what I'd like clarity on is you've got a design right now, but I'm hearing it's very much in flux, one depending on wetland fill, DNR permitting issues. We don't know what that solution is. So we're requiring a letter of credit to cover that. Is this just the sidewalk? Who's paying for the regrading of the slope, pipe, and the alternate solution, potential of wetland mitigation, if in fact the DNR does require that? I guess that's I'd like to see some clarity on, because when I'm reading this, it speaks to the sidewalk, but not related modifications that might be.
Well, I guess those decisions would be made by the city and the city engineer and when we would do this. Our development, the intent is to start with the market rate units up here. We're going to put a cul-de-sac in, clubhouse, pool, the first unit. And we're not going to do the senior portion of this section until we build out the townhomes and finish up the other buildings to the northeast. As we proceed down with the market rate units, the road would be brought down. I mean, that could be 5-6 years. The actual sidewalk is brought down, so the connectivity may not occur in 8 years.
Well, and if I can just answer it, relative to the wetlands, the only wetland filling is this proposed sidewalk. If you look at the materiality of the cost, I don't think it's that significant. I think it's simply an issue of a regulatory approval process. The infrastructure for that street and the utilities associated with it before we even begin the buildings is much, much more material, and we've always had to post bonds with the city. We've got a 12-year track record of working with planning and engineering staff and the city attorney. And so, Commissioner Haley, I don't I see your concern. I don't think there's a lot of things in flux here. I think it really comes down to the issue of the permitting process and that small area of wetland fill in the right-of-way.
And I bring it up because one possibility, and we won't go there, is that fills may be approved, but the DNR may require wetland mitigation, compensating 1.5 to 1. There may be other intangible costs. I guess all I'm asking is, can this section reflect that the developer would cover any costs related to the construction of that sidewalk? It just wasn't clear to me. It's not a huge issue, I think, in particular, but it's a sidewalk. We're talking about probably more than a sidewalk, or is it just the by
the city attorney?
All of the specifics inquired of by Mr. Haley would be covered in the development agreement, which would be prepared by the city engineer. And this is the standard procedural legislative manner of dealing with this. All the improvements are never enumerated within the ordinance or resolution. Those all appear within exhibits within the standard form development agreement. Mr. Bennett requested that provision, so I put it basically the standard form, and I added a little bit for explanation purposes. But that's where those concerns appear.
And that's why I appreciate that answer, just more clarity on that. And forgive me for what it's worth, Department, I do believe in some of my reviewing of all this. I read that the floodplain mitigation for the fill for that sidewalk had been calculated in elsewhere in the project. So it was anticipated there would be some fill that would be in floodplain, as Commissioner Fowler pointed out. And that loss has been compensated for elsewhere in the project. The
compensatory area is available down here, and I would assume the reality of it is when Mr. Bennett looks at this, he's going to increase the size of that fill in order to create a terrace.
Agreed, and I think that speaks to the neighbors' concerns about additional right. flooding potential.
And there's area for compensatory storage down in this section.
Then I guess I just have one other comment, try to keep it short, and maybe it relates to Section 5 in the ordinance, but and I think very much what the mayor just said about Franklin, I think it's great, it's true. I think one of the things that does make us strong is our strong environmental ordinances. I'm a little bit disappointed, and I don't know who to point the finger at, but we're very quick to abandon some of those, and we're very strict on everything. I guess maybe the example I might give, I believe you've come up with a great alternative design here. You've scaled back, you've worked in here in a tight box, and you've got a good plan here. It does require, as you've explained, some encroachment into the buffers. Well, our ordinances protect the wetlands, but you're not touching them. But they also protect the buffers because disturbing those areas can lead to their ultimate degradation. So that's great. The point is we still have this issue where there are being impacts that are contrary to our ordinance. We're encroaching on those. And part of my concern is with the natural resource exemption, the exceptions to the rules. Basically, the whole idea is that we're trying to protect the wetlands. And there's two levels of protection. There's a no-touch and a no-build. So you don't want, if you get too close with the machinery, that's what leads to there. Falling apart. So, long story short, what I'm missing here, and unfortunately, the Environmental Commission, they make a recommendation. There's no talk. There's been no offer that I'm aware of. No talk about mitigation. How do we minimize those impacts? I love the statements you made about silt fence being watching it during construction. But for example, what I love to see in this situation is that those areas that are disturbed, that are within the buffers, that they be restored. Not to necessarily pre-existing condition, but a more natural condition. Because reality says, and I'd be willing to put money on it, it'll go back in, it'll be bluegrass turf. So we'll take the wetland, and I guess that's what I'd like to see. Your proposal, if I read this, there is no mitigation proposed, and we're being asked to approve a natural resource protection plan that asks for no mitigation. And I don't know that there's a lot of mitigation you can do. And I like talk about invasive control because that helps the general thing, but that doesn't necessarily do anything for the wetlands. I would just like some commitment that you're going to, and whether it's written into a mitigation plan, I guess
I'm uncomfortable with the fact that Franklin says we've got these standards and the way to protect our wetlands is to include buffers and to stand strong behind them, and as the language says, only make exceptions when that's necessary. I'm seeing this happen way too much. And I'd like to say, and this is just social commentary, maybe there's other standards we should be looking at making exceptions for one time. For example, I know we're all being there, but if we could look at, on a case-by-case basis, reducing building setbacks from streets, reducing street widths, all the things which you've talked about doing, those are things that could help to protect the wetlands. But we take advantage of those, and then we still encroach on the wetlands. So if the people of Franklin feel that wetlands are an important resource to preserve and protect, we should be doing everything we can. And if it means bringing buildings 15 feet closer to the street, maybe that's actually a good thing. And we don't accommodate that. I just keep seeing plans where the developer makes the best effort at a plan and tries to work around the natural resources and is committed, in your case, especially to protecting them and putting things back. But maybe there was other things at the planning level that if the city had said, you know, we'd be willing to think about a narrower roadway width or reducing those building setbacks even further to pull away from the wetlands so that these impacts don't happen. It seems we hold all of our ordinances as sacred except the ones that are protective of our natural resources. We've gone to the extent of creating a whole process to make exceptions for that. And I do realize that we can make exceptions to almost any of our standards. I guess I'd like to see that pursued more often. And this isn't necessarily directed to you. It's really the city. Let's try to balance and create projects that take advantage of the natural resources. And I think you've done that, and you've done what you can. These are not high-quality natural resources, but even just hearing that the level of restoration, there's a commitment to doing more of a naturalistic restoration of disturbed areas, goes a lot farther. Because the fact is, if it goes back or it reverts to bluegrass, those buffers will have been lost, and the next thing to go is the wetlands. And it'll be 5 years before anybody realizes it, but they'll be gone or they'll be degraded even worse. And the intention is to make them better.
Understand. You know, we try to be sensitive over the wetlands. And to address one of the issues, the original PDD requires a 30-foot setback, allowing 15-foot no-touch zone after initial grading. And we, you can look at our current development, we restored those 15 feet and then some to provide that buffer zone that's needed to filter any type of runoff into the wetlands. So, yeah, we're sensitive here. But just those pinch points that we're talking about, and we don't reseed it back to the grass, we don't want to cut the grass. We just as soon make it go wild.
But the temptation 15 years down the line, somebody else doesn't like it, looks ratty in a way
goes. Well, see, that's the other part of it. We are a builder, an owner, and an operator. So we're here for the long haul. There's a second generation sitting in the audience that intends on carrying on these projects, and this is actually the 11th community, senior community of all the communities. Our intent, as far as mitigation goes, you know, wetland filling isn't ours. There's a buffer restriction thing, but the staff had talked to me earlier, and they actually have it in the ordinance regarding invasive species. We had talked about the eradication of the lowly buckthorn, and there is some on the site. It's a winter wheat field right now, harvested soybeans in August, and so we'll work with staff to propose a buckthorn eradication on the southwest and northwest corner. There is some buckthorn to be removed, but it's mainly just the field.
And I appreciate that. And I guess that it's sort of my commentary to staff, to the city, to all of us, that then we shouldn't get a recommendation from the Environmental Commission that says we approve the impacts, but we're not asking for any mitigation. Nothing is expected. The mitigation should be something, in this case, as simple as commitment to restore a natural and maintain it that way. Then we're doing some mitigation, something to show, but I think other developers see this. It's like, oh, well, we'll just go to Franklin. They've got these great standards. They'll design the building, and they'll just let us do whatever to the natural environment. I hate to see that or hear that.
I've been in the building industry for 30 years. I've built all over the country, not just Wisconsin. Franklin has got a tough wetland ordinance. It is not easy here. 12 years ago, I bled a lot on this floor.
Yes, you did.
Understood. And it is, well, I think we'd all agree it's a good thing. But the point is I think that you can still ask for and get an exemption. And we should have that
right.
provision, but there should be some quid pro quo. And,
right.
And I think and they're there, and I'm not making these
yeah, and I think
but
so
we
too.
All need to be aware of this.
And you know, I want to also mention that the entire site, you know, we've got those five pinch points, but the rest of the site accommodates the 50-foot setback. So for our original PDD 30-foot, we exceed it. We far exceed what was originally approved 12 years ago.
I'm a little bit on a soapbox here, but I think you've done a great job with a difficult site and a commitment to doing what you can to preserve and enhance.
Well, I think the comments are good because the Plan Commission does not have to vote tonight. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But this whole thing about our ordinances and whether we're doing a good enough job, I'm not aware of any municipality that has stricter wetland ordinances than the City of Franklin. I guess I challenge anybody to come up with a set of stricter ordinances. And then on top of that, when this group did the comprehensive master plan for the city, this group went out of their way to make sure that the primary and secondary environmental core of the city, which is thousands of acres of land, are going to be set aside for the next 1,000 years. With MMSD Pleasant View, we set aside acres of property that could have gone for development projects. We asked as part of negotiations that the property that's east of 112th Street all be dedicated for conservation instead of building an industrial park out there. So I think the city has, even the people that are most pro-business, most pro-development are all following. Well, first of all, you have to follow the ordinance. It's an ordinance. Where I was going to go with this is that there are other communities that are doing things, putting properties right in the middle of wetlands. There's an issue with the lakefront, with the transit building, whether the transit building for Milwaukee County should be torn down and a big 40-story high-rise should go in its place right on the wetlands. So in comparison to Milwaukee County versus City of Franklin is by far much more stricter in code. The question I was going to give Mr. Deedle is my reading of the ordinances, maybe city attorney can chime in on. Language I read for natural resource protection components as far as recommendations, endorsements, can be either the Environmental Commission or the Plan Commission.
The code requires a recommendation from the Environmental Commission. And I believe the Plan Commission as well. And if the Plan Commission or Environmental Commission does not act in a timely fashion, the council would act on its own.
I think it's in tonight's packet, but I might be wrong, but I think it says and or. City Attorney?
Well, the last point that Mr. Deal made was really the summit. Environmental Commission recommends public hearing held before the Plan Commission. Plan Commission recommends council decides, but if within 45 days, I believe it is, from the date of filing of the application, that two-step is not received by the Common Council, the Common Council can publicly hear the matter itself without those recommendations to make a decision.
Recommendations are exactly that, too. That's what the Plan Commission is, except for some changes that have been made to allow for more discretion by the Plan Commission. But that's what we are, is we're a recommending body to the Common Council, and on some occasions they can take our recommendations and then not take them. I remember your proposal 12 years ago, and it was very controversial, and I remember all kinds of things that are coming up with it. So, sorry for this, for these speeches and all that, but what I'm trying to get to is to ask the Plan Commission if they're ready vote on this issue tonight, or if they want to have more time and take things under consideration. I mean, you have a recommendation from the Plan Commission. The engineering department has gone over this. You're saying even after the public hearing, you're still holding true to your recommendation.
Correct.
So I would say, given the fantastic history with your organization and how you've conducted yourself in this city, and how many people have come to this city because of your fine organization. You know, I would highly recommend that we move approval of this tonight.
Thank you.
Well, they will make one. A motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend Chapter 15-3.0436 of the Unified Development Ordinance, Plan Development District Number 31, Forest Hill Highlands / United Financial Group, Inc., to allow for a market rate in senior housing apartment development consisting of 286 apartment units on a 22.65-acre property. Is there a motion to that effect?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed? Five ayes, no noes. I have a motion carries. I have a second motion. Is there a motion to recommend approval of the Forest Hill Highlands Senior Community Natural Resource Feature Special Exception pursuant to the standards, findings, and decision recommended by the Plan Commission and Common Council consideration of any Environmental Commission recommendation? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Been moved and seconded?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Five ayes, no noes. I have it. Motion carries. Yes.
Just before we leave this.
I almost called you Alderman Renner.
You can take it. It's available.
I certainly agree with moving forward on this matter tonight, but there have been good comments made from a variety of sources. I'm wondering if you might want to consider at a future meeting, when the time allows, to review the special exception, environmental special exception provision, and determine if there should be restoration or mitigation considerations, requirements, perhaps, so that when, you know, again, there's an agreement that, yeah, it's good to have flexibility to grant a special exception, but perhaps in the context of doing that, we should also consider mitigation or restoration provisions that could be included as a condition of granting such a special exception. So I'm wondering if staff could look at that at some point and perhaps bring that to us at a future meeting so that we can, we don't want to get into having a good discussion and it just falls apart and we never end up doing anything about it. So to follow up on this discussion, I think it would be good if we could consider it further at a future meeting, and specifically with regard to our option of adding mitigation or restoration criteria to accompany a special exception.
Okay. I'd also like to, maybe for a future meeting, have the Plan Commission consider whether the Plan Commission itself should just take up issues of natural resources protection components. And I'll tell you why I say that. I specifically asked for two individuals to sit on this Plan Commission. One is Mr. Haley, and the other is Mr. Fowler, because of their huge expertise in these types of matters. They're, you know, I'm presuming they're going to stay on the commission. They have such expertise, I'm not sure that we can find anyone that even comes close to matching their expertise in the entire community. So something I'd like to consider, because it seems that like sometimes we're going through two and three processes, and maybe some of the things that are going on by other commissions, like Arbor Day and buckthorn harvesting, might be delegated there, and then the really, really technical issues. And I'm getting off the subject. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners. And we're really happy to be in this community. One of the things we do when we decide what communities we're looking for is to find a community that is very restrictive, because we're not afraid of putting the effort into a project. We like to be in a community that is difficult and restrictive. In fact, we're the third developer on this site. There were two other developers that tried and gave up, and it wasn't, you know, it isn't because you don't have high standards that can be attained. But thank you again.
Thank you. All right. Next subject. Item C, 8153 Investments, ILLC, 8153 Investments. Mr. Deedle?
As the staff report notes, this is a site plan amendment. The applicant has already gone before the BZBA, the Board of Zoning and Building Appeals. They needed variances to accomplish the very same things they're asking for Planning Commission approval now, which includes dumpster location or dumpster enclosure located closer to the property line than normally allowed in the zoning district, actually 1 foot closer than is normally allowed. They've received that variance from the Board of Zoning and Building Appeals. They also asked for and received approval to expand that rear drive behind the building, primarily to add some parking, and that setback was 15 feet and they got it reduced down to 4. And then they also asked for and received the variance for the minimum landscape surface ratio, reducing that from 0.3 to 0.22. Now they're proceeding with those, and those changes are also site plan amendment changes. And that's what they're here before us today for. Staff is recommending approval of those changes with a number of conditions and suggestions. And I guess I'll just briefly, quickly mention what those were. We do believe that adding the parking to that drive aisle in the back is pretty tight. The space is tight. And we thought the best compromise, not our favorite or best solution, but a compromise that would be reasonable, would be to remove the one space that's furthest to the south, which is on the left of the drawing, so there'd be more room for cars to turn around. It's awfully tight. In the normal situation, it'll be worse if there's snow out there. So we thought that was a reasonable compromise for the parking situation in the back. We are also recommending that there be some further enhancements to the fence or to the wall. It's all feet tight in that location, so they'll have a retaining wall and a fence on top of that. And they're removing the landscaping to fit that and the expanded parking area. So there'll be very little landscaping on that side. We're hoping that either by a more decorative wall or landscaping in conjunction with the retaining wall or the fence, that would be more visually pleasing. We're only suggesting, however, the similar treatment for the garbage dumpster enclosure. They're proposing to use the same kind of vinyl fence material for the garbage dumpster enclosure. They're moving it to a more visible location, but it is still sort of tucked back, so we're only suggesting that change. The only other thing I can mention, I guess, is we did point out to the applicant that this is a very tight space. It was noted in the original staff report and the original approval as well that accomplishing proper snow storage may be difficult, and we're just pointing out to them that with more parking in the back, there'll be less place for snow storage and more snow on pavement to be moved. They may more likely have situations where they're going to have to truck it off-site. So that was only a comment to them, not a recommendation or suggestion. But otherwise, with those, we were recommending approval.
Questions? Comments? Mr. Ritter?
I pretty much agree with staff. My concern, even with if the last parking spot was out, it wasn't there. I agree with it, in fair weather, that it enhanced the turnaround opportunities. My concern would also be, though, that in storm conditions or snow conditions, this will be monitored if at some point there's a problem with the parking due to snow storage on site, that the city would have some latitude to come in and enforce or refine for snow storage removal, or how would that work if there were not to be, or if there were to be a parking problem because of the parking due to on-site snow storage?
In the normal course of events, somebody would file a complaint. Otherwise, we wouldn't find out about it. And if there wasn't complaint and it was a significant issue, I believe we could ask them to truck it off-site.
Any other comments? Mr. Haley?
Just
one comment or suggestion relative to the loss of green space related to the wall of the fence. There's a bunch of vines that could be planted on that fence that would grow in very little soil that don't require the space of a tree, but might do a great job of greening it up and making it look better.
Alderman Solomon?
On your note to us, you indicated that the grade is going up 2 to 3 feet.
Yes.
Where's the water going to go?
We would work with the engineering staff to make sure that there would be proper drainage. From what we were told by our neighbors to the west, not a lot of water flows through there. But of course, we would take all the proper precautions to whether it be shooting grades, to make sure that.
Can I have your name and address?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. My name is Richard Corey, 8246 South Fountain Court in Franklin. Yes, thank you. I think it is indicated in the resolution. I'm not sure. Or maybe we just verbally discussed it at the prior meetings that we would have to, of course, make sure that there would be proper grading in order for the water to flow. Although we were, neighbors have indicated that they have never noticed any real appreciable water going through there for what it's worth.
Where does your water go now? Well, it just sheet drains off the parking lot?
Well, it goes into the catch basins and the impervious surface water gets picked up by the basins.
And where do the basins go?
It goes out to 27th Street. To the drain, the drainage ditch.
To the ditch?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yes.
Okay. That would be a problem when we put a new 27th Street in there. I see an awful lot of parking lot and not much storage space for rainwater, snow, anything like that whatsoever. There's not a lot of space.
Well, if I may comment, John Hoppe, 4287 Tumble Creek Court, proprietor of Hoppe Woodworks, 2791 West Southland Drive, partial owner of this property. I'm the original property builder 27 years ago. Big snowstorm we had 2.5 years ago, whatever that was. Because of the partnership that we have, we all bring something to the table. One of the partners has a skid steer. In the big snowstorm, we actually did truck it off site. So we are prepared for that. It happened in the past. We loaded it out. There was never a problem. There was never a complaint. To address your drainage water issue, the slope of the two properties actually to the west of our properties has a lot more volume of water pitched to the lot line than we actually carry. I would say 90% of our water goes to 27th Street, to the ditch of 27th Street. Now, if there is a redesign of 27th Street, which is it cast in stone yet? I don't know. Okay, exactly. So nobody knows that answer. So that's the way engineering originally told us to do it. That's the way we did it. That's what we have to work with.
By the way, I've heard nothing but great things about your business.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being in Franklin. All right, Mr. Ritter?
Just a point of curiosity. Will all of the pavement in the back be replaced, or will the existing pavement remain and just new pavement be added?
It'll just be added to. So our intention is to actually recurb it, so we'll still have the curb there. And then the pushback or the new curb, whatever we decide to do there, yes, there will be asphalt paving filled back in, correct?
Yeah, the thought that came up obviously is just because of the concerns that have been expressed about water, some sort of pervious pavement.
Absolutely, yeah. No, and it's going to be a hard deck surface. The other thing I want to mention too, this parking's not for the patients going in and out. This is for the occasional doctor, so he can scoot in and scoot out.
This, again, is a professional building. This is not a tattoo parlor. This is not a restaurant. This is only for the doctors, and the doctors are requesting this. We had talked about Wheaton Franciscan. They're hooked up with Wheaton Franciscan. We're getting doctors in from Aurora. So this is the doctors that we are servicing. So these doctors can service our elderly community.
From what we're hearing,
this is beyond. This business has been very successful for these doctors, and we don't want to turn them away. Is the problem?
I mean, if they put up the flagship hospital with everything that's going on, you're probably going to get real busy.
So when you say the elevation must be raised approximately 2 or 3 feet, depending on the grade, are you talking about just the parking, the building, or both?
No. The rear property line drops off from the curb level to the mating the marriage properties in between our west lot line and the adjoining properties. There's a 2-foot to 3-foot elevation difference in between the dumpster site and the left corner there. So our intentions are to obviously shore that up with retaining rock, retaining wall.
So just that back west property
exactly,
line.
Exactly.
Right. And then it looks to be a catch basins in the
center. There's 2 catch basins in the back, correct?
So basically you're going to be increasing the head drop from that property line.
We're definitely going to increase the volume that's going to be going through those heads, correct?
Well, it increases the volume because you're adding pavement. Okay. You're not that much bigger.
No, 4 feet or I don't know exactly. All right. 9 feet.
Anything else? It's Ritter. I have a proposed motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for the property located at 8153 South 27th Street to allow for parking lot expansion, dumpster enclosure relocation, landscape alteration, and fence installation. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
Just want to be sure that the conditions that the plan staff has asked for are included.
It says resolution.
Yeah, they're in the resolution. But just the conditions. The one suggestion about the garbage dumpster enclosure is that.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes. Ayes have it, motion carries. Thank you very much for your patience, and it's a good thing you didn't have a natural resources protection component. We have to get the soapbox. It's like showdown with Haley.
Okay, what
do
we got,
Haley,
on that?
Well, complete streets connectivity committee.
I have a slideshow.
No, I'm just kidding. that was
actually, we need 2 members. So if you have a folder full of people who are volunteering for committees, we need 2 seats filled.
Well, I'd be happy to have some recommendations from the parties.
Mr. Mayor, I would happily serve on the connectivity committee until my services are required for another committee.
It could be any day.
Could add 50% of the problem.
A piece of that came out tonight.
Sounds good.
I do want to say something about the connectivity committee. I met with staff. So with you, Nick. Yeah, and ordinance, potential ordinance for the maybe looking at the lacrosse ordinance. Couple things. My suggestion is to start with those streets where there's already been policies put in place regarding sidewalks, the main arterials, Ryan Road, to recommend sidewalks, paths along there, and then to start to work on some figures, some dollar figures, as to what all of this is going to cost. And then look at some prioritization as to what's achievable, what isn't. I'm thinking the Oak Leaf Bike Trail is a big priority, and then working off of that. The other thing I told Nick is, I went out to the Hunger Task Force recently, and I think we should really have a meeting on the Hunger Task Force with the whole plan commission and go over what it is that they showed myself and Alderman Skaronski about what their plans are and walk through that, because I think you're all going to be amazed. It's a major undertaking. But what, as far as the connectivity committee, while I was out there, they said, hey, why don't you want to take a tour of our property? I said, sure. So I hopped in their little four-wheel, what do they call those things, all-terrain vehicle. First thing they did is they took me down their new walkways and bike paths into the woods. And I said, do you have any problem with us maybe looking up your bike trails and their walking paths that are all pristine and beautiful? And they said, no, not at all. So I'm thinking that the Oakleaf bike trail comes right off the tip of that. It's just a small extension. And you're going to be amazed at what you're going to see up there. I don't know, how many, would you say, 2 miles? Mile and a half?
Yeah, they got a lot of them in there. They're weaved in, you know, the landing area. And then especially going along the waterway on the east side, the creek there, they got plants that go down through the woods and then around.
Excellent.
You just want to go over there?
Well, they're also looking at building a corporate center there. And could be a biking center. Could be a nature center. Like that.
Could be a combination center.
Yeah. And it could be really something very terrific. So I think we should, we haven't done that in a long time, is take the Plan Commission on a trip. And Matt King, I think, is the contact person over there.
What's the exact location?
Right across the street from the House of Correction.
East of 68.
Yeah.
And Kevin, the plans for the county bike trail go close to that, correct?
Well, our bike trail technically runs through the sports complex.
Right.
Comes all the way down, comes under Fuse, under Fuse, through the sports complex.
And then you'd be on the other side. So it's on the other side, right to the west.
Correct.
Okay.
But I think what I'm hearing is there's an opportunity being connected up in Pukes Road or to the south. We do actually have a short section of Oakleaf Trail on the north side of Lyon Road.
We do.
Sports Complex Drive across the bridge. So there could be the connection. And the developer, Paraxis, closes a short section of Oakleaf Trail from Lyon North.
But getting back to the ordinance, I read the La Crosse ordinance. Let's see how I say it. There are a lot of communities that put ordinances in place. What they really meant with it was to be a resolution. And instead of
that's what we're drafting, right?
Yeah, instead of using the word shall and have to do this as whatever possible. But I think you could accomplish a lot just by plugging in the unofficial policy of the city regarding arterials. Mm-hmm. Like Ryan Road, all of us are pretty much in sync saying those all have to be sidewalks. Rawson Avenue, the extension down, you know, along Whitlow Park and all that should all be trails or sidewalks. Alderman Skronsky has taken me on a number of trips through Muskego to look at their trails with the asphalt and all of that. Looks like it works for them. So I just want to say that I think you can accomplish a great deal very quickly and build momentum or more momentum by just taking the unofficial policies of the city, incorporating them, making part of your recommendations, and then taking the Oakleaf Bike Trail along with the Hunger Task Force's offer, the trails there, and overnight, and you're just, I mean, we already have a great trail system, but overnight it's going to be extended tremendously. So, and then with the ordinance, more like a resolution, and you got to plug in dollar figures. We're not going to do anything without. You can write the best resolution in the world, but if it doesn't have a fiscal note attached to it, it's just going to sit there. Right, Kevin? You have 1,000 projects with county parks that are required by fiscal
And just one last comment, not to keep us here much longer, but the because in South Lyon, I was at my folks' place again, and again, they extended their trail at no cost to the city of South Lyon or New Hudson. It was all done by the developers as part of the streets and as part of the trail. They've already got places and they've got pieces in place, and so all they do is when they come in with their development, they hook up to the trail, and it just continues going, and it's, the city has no cost except operation and maintenance of parts of it. Sometimes the developers have an agreement with the neighborhood association that when they plow their streets, that part gets plowed by somebody at the cost of the neighborhood association. So,
well, one other piece, I was over at the Rock today with the press conference and all that. Really went pretty terrific. Afterwards, sitting there and I'm going, you know, we're going to have all these kids going to that, you know, baseball fields and BMX, but we really don't have a whole lot of bike trails going in. You've got Rawson Avenue, you've got a sidewalk, but it would be nice if they fed not only from Franklin, but from Greendale and through Whitnall Park. There's a trail at the bottom of the ski hill that's used for cross country. It's not an official trail, but if there's something down there.
Yeah, will be formalized as a mountain biking trail.
That
and,
is.
And we do plan, our master plan for the opening is to jump from the parkway across the river and up through Crystal Ridge.
Okay.
Down Old Loomis Road
and if I could be so bold to suggest that having tried to cross Rawson and 76th Street, that intersection is one of the worst intersections for any kind of pedestrian traffic, and what we're going to see is we're going to have a large number of kids at that facility and people. We've got restaurants and facilities that are going to serve those people just across the street in two malls, that it would be nice if perhaps we consideration to altering that intersection in some fashion to make it just slightly more pedestrian friendly so it's safe to cross so those people can go. We have those two vacant buildings to the east of the bank that used to be a coffee shop and something else. If we get a large number of folks coming to show up at the softball, they have a way that they don't have to maybe drive, maybe they want to, but some people are going to want to walk. They're all going to be baseball players and soccer players. They should be fit. They could walk over to those facilities if it's easy and it's convenient and it's safe, and we get those buildings occupied with some restaurants that they used to be. So I would really like to think that we think a little bit outside the box and begin, once that development's in and we see the use it's getting, the Connectivity Committee, with the support of the Planning Commission and others, begins to look at that intersection as something to be made pedestrian friendly.
Well, I've already gotten some feedback on just the sidewalk in the street painting that's been done on 51st Street, and people erroneously think that, you know, that the committee had something to do with that. You know, in a peripheral manner, we had something to do with that. But the fact that the road was put in—I don't know what the engineering term is for it, where they put those turn lanes in, and you don't have a straight shot.
Is there what you would call it?
The whatchamacallits. The whatchamacallits has changed the character of the street there.
People
drive slower. They're watching. They got those little bumps on there. Where people have to do that little bump out. And the people in the neighborhoods have said they feel much more secure crossing over, walking over to Sendix, walking over to Andy's. And this is, it's an economic development issue. These are now, that's a crossroads down there that now different commercial opportunities can take place. They were going to put an ice cream store in Andy's, which would have been just tragic 2 years ago. But now there's two neighborhoods, two subdivisions that are right there that can cross over there.
Yeah, we could have had a Dairy Queen right over there.
That's fine.
There
now we're talking.
But I think Layton should really consider it. I think that's a perfect opportunity to see some development in that little section. Sorry to get on my little soapbox.
More than pedestrian.
I don't talk as long as Kevin, but I try to be.
Well, you know, today I was looking up on Google, I was trying to find the press clipping for Rock, and what I stumbled across was this bike federation that announced that the Rock is going to build this world-class mountain bike trail.
Well, they're very excited about it.
Yeah, that's big news in a lot of circles of bikers that I'm.
Well, you know,
And that brings a whole other group of people that have bikes who will then ride to those facilities. But right now, you try to take a bike across Layton and it's really not very conducive to getting out.
Well, I did credit the county executive Abley that without him, there would have been no rock. So maybe we can ask him to help us with 76 and Ross at that intersection, because those are both county truck highways. And did you guys know Helen, or Ellen, is it Ellen Howard, over at Verner? Should see if you can try and get a bike trail over there, because Ellen is educating all the kids on the flowers, and she's one of the best PR people I've ever met in my life. She's turned that whole thing around. And so, you know, we work with the Rock. The Rock works with her, et cetera, et cetera. We all come and get a nice one.
And the Dairy Queen.
If I might, the good news and the warning in all of this is the management agreement we have with the Rock people. It states that going into the future, they're to continue to integrate all these alternative activities out there. So this is not just a baseball complex, but they need to comply with our master plans. We need to work together to increase and enhance all this stuff. It's going to be a lot more than a baseball complex.
And my last little soapbox thing I'm going to do, the Layton 76 is really one of the gateways into Franklin. And people coming up 76th Street from Southridge in that area, that was one of our gateways into our community. I see it as that, maybe because I drive it all the time. It'd be nice to have it look pretty spiffy.
You said Layton, but you meant...
I'm sorry. I said Rawson. Sorry, Rawson.
Well, that car wash is starting to look really nice.
Best car wash in town.
Okay, well, it's
kind of nasty.
One last thing with the bikes. We're going to have all these bikers coming around. Do we have bike racks? Stores.
One step at a time. Let's make it conducive for them to get here. And then when
I'm thinking about Solomon.
That's true.
After he retires. Jack knows about bike racks.
Three Sellers means bike racks, because I don't want to drive to Three Sellers.
That's true. Yeah. Three Sellers would be one of the places that would benefit.
We're getting more.
All the parents would go to Three Sellers and they're watching their kids play.
Right. But how about a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Randy Sicker, discussion
team, and all favor to signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those, wait, under discussion.
Wait, I have one more
thing. No, there is one more thing. Today, speaking of bike trails, at the end of the bike trail at the sports complex, there's this gorgeous parking lot that you drive your bike across. And this parking lot was designed by some guy named Kevin Haley. And it really enhances the whole place. And we had the director of MMSD, the county executive, everybody in the world out there, made the TV, and it's all good stuff. So,
pervious surface.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin.
Well, you're welcome. I did it for all of us, and it was not just I, but it took some pushing to get people pervious and doing this type of thing. And,
how about a round of applause for Kevin?
Kevin Schaefer was there?
Yeah. My two sons voted there, and they commented on how nice it looks.
It looks good, but it functions great. And we had a water trailer. We were dumping water on it. Kevin was fascinating. It's the new standard.
Okay, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say the motion carries.
So Kevin, the question I have, Kevin.
Yeah.
I finished the... No, I...